This week's axiom is Cunningham's Law, which states, the best way to get the right answer on the internet is not to ask a question, it's to post the wrong answer. This was proven true again by Game Developers Aplenty proving a foolhardy tweet wrong that quote-unquote confirmed that Grand Theft Auto 6 will look bad. Too bad the game isn't done yet. This is the lightest update on the latest AAA gaming bombshell. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this story and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. We are live once again with episode number 931. That's a lot of shows. For tonight, September 25th of 2022. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts. Say hello first off to, she's working on her TwitchCon cosplay here. I would say the last minute, but it isn't because there's still 2 weeks. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Sorry.
I'm not muted.
Your noise gate is unforgiving sometimes. Sorry. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm recovering from a migraine. It happens, you know. But I have crackle paste. I ruined the last mask I was working on, so I emergency ordered another one.
Mm-hmm.
And my foam crafting is also not going to plan, so I am putting crackle paste on this mask to make the
Phantom of the Opera.
No, that would be a half mask anyway. I am doing the Rift cosmetic for the pig, at least the crown, a reverse bear trap crown with her jigsaw mask. And I realized that it would be a lot easier and a lot more authentic looking if I just use crackle paste.
I would hope that if you are going to cosplay at TwitchCon, you're doing something related to Dead by Daylight, since it is the game that really it took you and Twitch's relationship to the next level, I would say, the Dead by Daylight community.
You remember I had been streaming and then kind of got bullied off.
Yeah, which stinks, but then you found a pretty accepting community, so.
I did. And funny enough, I made a friend at the Jiffy Lube who plays Dead by Daylight. He and his lady friend do. Huh. And so I may have new friends to play with.
That's awesome. I know it seems like, unfortunately, because my schedule, whatever, we never seem to be able to connect to play Dead by Daylight on stream, but I hope we can soon, so it'll be fun.
I play with Fenara quite a bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always enjoy playing with Fenara, but I like to expand a little bit and play, you know, give my other friends a chance to enjoy my presence.
Sure, sure.
I mean, humbly speaking, of course.
We have over in chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. SSJ 100 Matt is wishing you Happy Jewish New Year in chat, which I know we were talking about just before the show. So,
La Shana Tova.
Thank you.
Hi, Tay.
Thank you for being here tonight, in spite of that going on. Can you believe the TwitchCon is just in 2 weeks? Like, I was just, you know, kind of thinking about that today. I was like, oh my gosh.
Remind
like
me, I'm not ready.
I feel like DragonCon just happened, and certainly a lot of that was it was also the COVID sandbag that took me out of real life for a couple weeks, and now that things are getting up and going again, I'm like, oh snapple, there's TwitchCon coming up in 2 weeks. And
did you get the email, by the way, that they're sending out with about your vaccination and all of that?
Yes,
everything is up to date. I'm getting this shit everywhere.
I signed up for the Clear, so they're using that Clear service, which is you're starting to see in more and more airports. This is not an endorsement, I've never used it, I just see it all the time. I didn't know they did COVID health pass stuff, but apparently you can do that as well to I don't know if it's cut the line or skip the line, or just maybe it's like TSA pre-check, you have a shorter line. So I did all that stuff today, because you have to take a bunch of pictures and send that all over. So
I could do that. You actually remind me that I need to update my record, because I just had the newest booster.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, unless you have a medically mandated reason that you cannot physically take the booster, I don't want to hear your excuse. I don't want to hear it.
I want to get it. I'm just trying to figure out the right time to do it. So,
and if you're quoting religion to do it, don't you think that your deity of choice would want you to be healthy so that you can continue to contribute to said faith?
Yeah, just trust all of us that have had COVID. You don't want it. And I'm sure at this point, I imagine more of our listeners have had it than haven't. And we can also tell you that as well. So anyway,
I am, by the way, going to step away for a moment because this was a poorly thought out idea.
You're fine, because I also have to introduce Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
So I notice you do have a game that plays behind you every week as we are broadcasting live here on Twitch. I know the podcast listeners can't see it, but I will tell them I easily know that game because that is the game that I would call the it girl game of Twitch right now. Because, you know, usually there's some games that'll be like the it girl of Twitch for a couple weeks. And I would say the last one, maybe still a little bit, was Cult of the Lamb, was very much the it girl on Twitch. Maybe before that, I'm trying to think of some of the other it girl games that kind of like came and went. Disney Dreamlight Valley, it seems like a lot of people are doing, but anyway,
it's still the it girl.
You are playing Trombone Champ. I keep wanting to say Trombone Hero, but that isn't it. It's Trombone Champ is actual name of it.
We don't want to be copyright, you know. They don't want to be in legal trouble with Activision.
Yes, and I noticed the thing about Trombone Champ that's interesting is that most of the music, if not all of it, is either like public domain or some sort of, you know, song that is in the public consciousness where they can easily put it into the game. Like there's a lot of classic songs like Beethoven, Bach, and then there's things like, you know, I think Hava Nagila is one of the songs where it's things where it's like they're public domain songs.
That's a hard one.
Yeah. So, but it, you know, we're longtime music game fans, and I'm sure you want to talk a little more about this game during your gaming week, but what do you think it is about this game that is making it the it girl of Twitch right now?
It's not taking itself seriously, for one. It's really strange. It's a strange game. It's kind of almost got all that, it's like weird elements to it, kind of like Cookie Clicker almost, you know, where it has like, it's like, oh, it's a game about cookies. Wait, now there's eldritch demons. What? Yeah, it's like okay. Weird stuff like that. So this one, it's, you know, it's a trombone game with a character. It looks like it could be a me. And then there's also tons of baboons and a chaotic demon, and it's like Dark Souls. It's weird.
It's Frog Fractions, but it's trombones, basically.
Kinda.
Which, by the way, if you've never experienced the genius that is Frog Fractions, I don't even know if the game is still up and running somewhere, but I think it's on
Steam, I think.
Oh, that's right. I think they did release on Steam. So it's really one of the most incredible gaming experiences you'll ever experience is Frog Fractions. There was a sequel. I sort of think at that point when you knew what the gag was, I think the sequel kind of lost effectiveness, but it's still worth your time.
The sequel was that you didn't know it was Frog Fractions 2 because it was a different game.
Yes, and that was the running gag on this show and many shows for a long time was, oh, this new weird thing. Is this Frog Fractions 2? Is Trombone Champ Frog Fractions 2?
No, it's a fun yet challenging game. Okay. That's for sure.
This is the first I have heard of it.
Oh, you know the funny thing about it. Okay, so as a music game fan, the actual music game itself, this is literally Theatrhythm. There's three different stage types in Theatrhythm. It's not the one you see the most, but I believe this is the cutscene one where you're just going up and down and tracing the note. It's Theatrhythm. But it's Theatrhythm with the trombone, and it's the sense of humor that makes it so good. Like when you miss notes, it says nasty. And it's the battle stage, it says Mike Deft. I thought, no, those are the ones you commonly see. This is the one, I think it's the cutscene ones, the movie stages where you are tracing the note lines and everything. It's really the same mechanic. It's just going in the opposite direction, which I guess the default mode for the trombone is also down is up and up is down, right? Because that's the way a trombone would work. Yeah.
No, I fixed that right away.
But it's just if you listen
to... Yeah, but what about valve trombone?
I don't think they add any of the other mechanics and that.
Joking.
Yeah. But it's the noise that the trombone makes that's really funny when you're messing up. And that's And the fact that they call them tromboners, when you're playing a trombone, you're a tromboner, which isn't actually what they're called, but that's part of the humor in the game.
That's what we called them in high school.
I feel like the people that made this game absolutely were band nerds in the trombone section. Like all in jokes.
What's hilarious, though, is they have like trading cards you can unlock and like booster packs and stuff like that, but they're like of like classic trombone musicians. So it's like, who's collecting that? But it's just ridiculous.
So which Neville brother is in there?
Well, I was just, I hope you cannot have a ska band without a trombone. Like, a trombone is an essential part of any ska band. So
they do have a ska track in there. I'm pretty sure there is. There's also, was it that track from 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a classic. Zarathustra, that's a classic. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
for the record, here's a true story about me as a band nerd. I wanted to play trombone, and I wasn't allowed to play trombone because apparently I don't have the correct shaped mouth to play trombone. So I played saxophone instead.
Hmm. Well, I think if they make a sequel to this game, it won't be Saxophone Champ. It'll be Tuba Champ. Seems the likely sequel to this game. Well, and the other thing,
I still want a Sax Master.
And the other thing I want to say, and then I want to get into the news and stuff, is that with this game, you know, I keep saying it's the It Girl on Twitch because it went extremely viral on Twitter, and I was very surprised at the people that were tweeting this, like all these verified accounts, including like one of the MSNBC news anchors, like quote tweeted it and said, "This is the laugh I needed today," or something like that. Like, just the little clip of people playing the trombone horribly, I think speaks to all of us that have ever joined bands successfully or otherwise. So I think
it does sound like a high school marching band, like practicing music that they are not familiar with is what it
sounds
like.
Can you play it with a trombone MIDI controller?
No, because
I'm not interested.
I don't think it's not supposed to be serious, Jamie. It's a jokey kind of thing. So, but
they should have put like a support in there just to be hilarious, because I think it would have been funny.
And actually,
this is what the modding community is for.
Yeah, and Bobby
said so.
Bobby just said it in chat. Not yet, but somebody's already modding it in the MIDI controller, because of course they are, and they've already modded in other songs, I'm sure. I think I heard you were talking about Megalovania or whatever that song is from.
Oh, of course, Megalovania shows up in everything.
Of course, but I was thinking, like, how about some early No Doubt songs, like back when they really were ska, or some of the other like stuff from the '90s. You know, Boss Tones.
I wonder if there's any Pain fans. I introduced you to Pain.
It was a long time ago. Are they even still together?
No, they have another band that's formed since then, but like Pose got like tenure at Georgia Tech.
Oh, wow.
And so the band kind of fell apart, and now it's like a different band, but still, Pain is like one of the best bands to ever come out of the South.
All right. Maybe they'll show up in the DLC, because, hey, this game's going to make these folks money. So maybe they'll be able to put some money down for DLC. We'll see. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's get into tonight's kickoff topic. We actually have a lot of like Twitch related topics tonight. I know it's interesting because Jamie and I are talking about TwitchCon in a couple weeks.
They've got a week.
Which will be the first time I've been in a long time.
I've never been.
I went the very first year. You may or may not recall, our voiceover guy, Jason, took me the first year, and it was at the Moscone Center, and I only went for a day, but that was where, you know, I learned a lot just walking around the show floor and talking to vendors, and it really was motivating to, like, do Twitch. I didn't quite stay on the wagon for a variety of reasons, but, you know, a few years later, when the necessity of VOG going through changes and Shoutcast and all that stuff kind of came up, and we made the move to Twitch, you know, I was very thankful I had experimented with Twitch before and kind of had some of that knowledge. In fact, the video capture card that is still in my PC, this new PC this day, I bought at that first TwitchCon when I was there. So it'd be interesting to see how it's evolved all these years later. And now that I am a little more immersed in Twitch culture, not just through OLR, but, you know, through my own streaming and participation, as well as Dark Sacred, it'll just be interesting to see, you know, what this year looks like, even just post-pandemic, you know? So, yeah. Well, and I shouldn't say post-pandemic, post-lockdowns, we'll say.
For the record, I actually have included my mask in with my what I'm calling my casual cosplay, where I have a little lower face mask that's a pig going. So oh, if boy. I need to, I have my little pigu half mask, but I'm gonna make my cosmetic work.
All right. Well, we'll do more TwitchCon prep next week and try to figure out where people can find us and all that good stuff. So there's a variety of meetups going on throughout the con. So I'd love to meet some listeners if you're going to be there. Otherwise, there's a lot of streamers that I watch that I can't wait to hang out with and see. So it's going
to
be fun.
See my friends.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And if any, by the way, if any of the friends are listening, I'm going to be at Disneyland on the 10th and you're welcome to hang out with me.
I will not be going, sadly. Nothing. We booked a flight home on Monday and I can't miss too much work. 'Cause we're also going to, don't forget, we're going to Seattle just in like 4 more weeks. So it's, you know,
I had reserved the time off before my schedule even changed.
Yeah.
Just to be sure that I got it. I'm very glad that I did, because the days I scheduled off were the days my schedule changed to.
Nice. All right. Let's move on. We got other stuff in gaming we want to get to.
I should go see Mike.
We want to get tonight's kickoff topic, which has to do, it's a little bit with Twitch culture, but I'd say this is more about the game in question, which has not been getting a lot of great reviews across the board, but continues to sell like hotcakes anyway. Loki, why don't you start us off here?
I mean, it's not a surprise. It's the same old complaints over and over again. It's like EA is playing this game of how far can we push it before it's too much? Mm-hmm. And maybe this time it was too much. But so, of course, Madden players are upset over the fact that in-game gambling odds of the Ultimate Team stuff is basically, I don't know if it's that they don't have them posted yet. Basically, it says, they need better odds. Better rerolls, better pack odds overall with bundles plus toppers. $100 version of promo bundle should be enough to complete a master full legend solos reward with BND champion fantasy packs. At least top set pieces that can be added into sets to help NMS players. I wouldn't be spending $100 on these packs, but whatever. So basically, the odds are getting harder to get, I guess, good players in those ultimate team things. So what they're doing now is announcing that they're going on a pack strike, which makes sense because a lot of these streams, a lot of them are opening these ultimate team packs. And I mean, if you're getting like pretty bad pulls, then I guess that also would impact your content negatively as well, but you're also paying them money, which is kind of perpetuating this problem in the first place. So kind of your fault.
I was gonna say, look at Diablo Immortal. Like, so many people were upset about the, you know, microtransaction or whatever you want to call it system in that game. But because in part of all of these streamers buying into it anyway and continuing to, you know, we had all these stories when that game was first out about thousands of dollars being poured into it and just encouraging others to do the same. That game is easily in the top 10 grossing mobile games, no problem. Yeah. So message not received.
It's not going to do anything because they've made so much money off of it at this point. Like, it's too late. The fact that you're even considering, well, the $100 pack should be enough. The fact that you're buying a $100 pack in this game in the first place is already a problem. Like,
I would say yes, but I'm planning fully to drop $100 in Theatrhythm, and I don't want to think about how much I've spent on things like Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, and I get that, but this isn't like, you know, you're paying $100 in Theatrhythm to randomly get some songs in
there. I know
what
I'm getting. In both of those circumstances, I know what I'm getting.
Think of it as like a collector's edition or something like that. That would be different, like if Madden had like a collector's edition.
Right.
However stupid it would be to charge like, say, $120 for it or something that did have these cards in there. But they already know what they can get away with. I mean, hell, just look at the game. I mean, they're pretty much releasing the same product every year. They're taking features out, holding them for a few years in the magical Disney vault, and then bringing them back later on and pretending, oh, look at this new feature that you... This is why Madden's great. It's so innovative. And it's like, this was just what you had a few years ago, except now you're calling it something different. So, I mean, they already know their target audience just either doesn't care or is too stupid to figure it out. And so they're just, whatever... We're going to keep doing what we want because you can complain about it all you want. You can create your hashtags and whatnot. It's not going to affect us in the least until it does. And then they walk it back. But that's what happened with Star Wars because that was a single player game and stuff. But you see, whereas they walked back loot boxes there, they just doubled down in FIFA and Madden because they can get away with it there.
I want to get to a couple comments from chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. So SSG100 Matt says, it's good that the streamers are the ones striking on these. I wonder if the YouTubers will as well. EA cares a lot about these content creators not pushing their product. But as we know, regardless what happens, folks will still buy the loot boxes. Yeah, I mean, and you also make a good point, is I would say the strongest statement you could make, and this also ties into what Redertainment says, tracks and Theatrhythm can last for several years. Card packs in this year's model of Madden only work with this year's model of Madden. And in my opinion, the biggest statement these streamers could make would be, again, similar in the Diablo universe. You had a very large website about min-maxing, a max roll. It's something I didn't know a lot about at the time, but ever since I got back into Diablo 3, as with Alan, like, we've been using that site a lot. Max Roll pulled their coverage of Diablo Immortal, said, you know what, we're no longer covering this game. We're going to focus on Diablo 2 and Diablo 3. We're not going to talk about Immortal anymore, basically. And in my opinion, if the Madden streamers really want to make an impact, I would say continue to stream Madden 22 and don't even acknowledge this new game for a variety of reasons. I don't want to just shit on a sports game for the sake of shitting on a sports game. Like, I understand. But Darkstalker, that's not fair, you know, because when they were shitting on DDR, we had a lot to say about that, right? Like, it's whatever.
I wasn't serious.
Yeah, I know. But it still needs to be said. Like, you know, people can have their faves and all that. That's fine. But when it comes to, you know, Madden and how bad 23 appears to be, even if you're a fan, not just with these, you know, built-in issues, but just with, you know, a lot of the whole, like, it's the same stuff, but it sounds like things aren't implemented well, why not just continue to play Madden 22 and be like, you know what, until EA, you make a game worth upgrading from, we're just going to stick with the game that works, which for all I know is probably not even Madden 22. It's probably have to go back further, to be honest.
Well, and that goes back to something that I always say is, you know, be critical of what you love.
Yeah, and we do that a lot here.
Just because you're complaining about your, you know, a game, it doesn't mean that you don't love the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, what it could be capable of. Mm-hmm. It means that you care enough to be vocal to give some real criticism about it.
Right.
And I'm not just saying, you know, go, oh, this sucks, and then, you know, not expand upon that, but absolutely have something that's going to back up your reasoning for your opinion. And then the second thing about it, put action to it. Nothing changes until you make it change.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right, and look
and
at, like, the...
Well, it's also why I think the boycott is the right idea.
And, I mean, look at the amount of monetization they're doing in a $60... I think it's 60 or is it $70 now? I don't even know. Game that really should be free to play at this point if that's all they're doing. They're not updating the game at all each year. It's just literally a roster update. And, like I said, they've been caught, even in some versions, having the old assets in the game. Like... Come on.
You know, saving money, but don't be obvious about it.
They're making billions of dollars off of this. Like, they're not putting any of that money back into the franchise. Well, it would be different if they're, like, monetizing the crap out of it, but it's just such an amazing, groundbreaking game. It's not that anymore. It's just they're not forced to compete, and so the game doesn't innovate because they have the license, which this is partly NFL's fault as well because they're the ones not licensing it to other, you know, companies. And so now the NFL has this crappy game that they get to put their brand on. I mean, cool.
Mike Deft confirms $70 for Madden 23 on the PS5. Last-gen versions are 60, which, you know, is kind of what we've seen. And I honestly really think, you know, but obviously EA is going to hate this idea because it's less money for them. But I really think, you know what, put the effort into making a solid, fun football game. And then, you know what, pay $20 for the licensed annual updates and put out a really solid game every 4 years. Anyway, you're still going to make money off of all these, you know, cards and all these other things too. But like, why have this ruse of these major changes for $70? Why not just do $20 for like an expansion pack?
I was going to say, why not do the Dead by Daylight model? Seriously. You know,
or MMOs.
Put out a new chapter for like each season with the new players, or have like DLC in case they've brought in like someone new mid-season or something, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people actually do that because it's sports ball. I don't care. But I mean, I think that doing that way saves them a lot of time on production,
because mm-hmm.
then they have their base game engine hopefully perfected.
It's not even close to perfected. It's buggy as hell.
Let me finish. That if they have an engine that works that they have perfected and put that one into implementation and then just build on that, you know, eventually it is going to run to a point where they may have to update like whatever their engine is, but that hopefully won't be for some time. Because, you know, the engine is going to be what runs the game. You're just going to change the shell on top of it. And maybe, like, every couple of years, you know, have, we've done this cosmetic upgrade. Update your game for the, you know, for the updated fields or crowd effects or whatever, you know. And that way, it's, in the end, going to save them money. Because they aren't going to have to work into, you know, on the production of a brand new game that, you know, they're going to have to make all new assets for, even though we've seen proof that they're not doing it. They can just recycle assets that are going to, you know, if they still are graphically, you know, fine, then keep using the same assets. You know, maybe... you know, have upscale options or something, or, you know, every few years, like I was saying with the engine, if the engine's been updated, update the models as well. And that way you can, you know, they can put more dedicated time into it, less time than what they would do to crank out a new game every year. And, you know, also it's kinder to their employees. It's kinder to the market. Put out the base game for $20 and have the updates be, you know, like do a few of them every year. Cause if people pay, like, say $15 for an update and they're doing it, say, three times a year, that's $45 per person playing the game, right? And then you put out the DLC packets, like, here's your fan packet if you were a fan of the sea chickens or something. I call them sea chickens because Dan calls them sea chickens, the Seahawks. But do you see my point?
Yeah. Let me, yeah. Loki, do you want to jump in, or let me, otherwise I'm going to get to chat comments.
Oh, I was just going to say, well, this is the model that they've already adapted for like almost everything that they have, which is basically release unfinished products and monetize the crap out of them and only do something when there's massive backlash to it. I mean, that's look at Battlefield. That series is suffering because of the way that they've treated it. Madden's just been Madden. It's been suffering for years. But same problem with FIFA too. Like, they're fundamentally buggy as hell and unfinished and unpolished. And considering that they're reusing the same game over and over again, it's really weird to see the same bugs every single year in that stuff. Yeah. Like, it's just, there's really no excuse at this point for this. Like, kind of product, especially with the amount of money that they have coming in. It's not a matter of like we don't have the funds to produce a good game. It's just they don't care. They're just giving it all to their shareholders. And so, like, I just don't, this is why no one trusts EA to make a good game anymore. It's just whatever, it is what it is. But
they used to be the company.
Let me go to chat and get some of the comments here over twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So Tiger Claw in chat asks, should Madden be games as a service rather than release new games every year? Well, in my opinion, they're trying to monetize the game like it's both already. And that's therein lies the problem. They want their, they literally want their cake and eating it too. And
I
so
I
think they need to ditch the new games every year and just admit what they're trying to do, which is the games as a service. And that also
they tried to do games as a service. Remember, oh God, what was there? I can't even remember the game because it's been blocked out of my mind. Their stupid jetpack games as a service game that folded because it was awful.
Yeah, Anthem. But that's not sports.
Doesn't matter. It's EA.
Well, yeah, but I'm pointing out that Anthem flopped for different reasons. But anyway, SSG100 Matt says, I will say in the sports game developer's defense, the devs have a very short window to make each year's game. They roughly have about 8 months to make a new game. First 4 months are spent patching updates work. That's what needs to change is that whole...
Wait.
Yeah, and that's the same thing I've been trying to say too with that whole idea about, you know what, put out a new game every 3 years and do an expansion pack for the rosters and maybe one or two cool new features or modes in the off years to get your money there too if you must. But this whole concept of $70 games every year, like the reality is maybe you could poop out a game in a year in the Genesis era when these games all first started to come to, you know, a really big prominence and so forth. But this is not a possibility in the PlayStation 5 era anymore. Games are not developed the way they used to be. At least games of this scale are not developed the way they used to be. You know what I mean? It might have taken one or two people to make Trombone Champ, but that's a different, you know, a completely different type of game.
Well, so. if they're hell bent on putting out a game out every single year, then what you got to do is you got to go the Call of Duty method where you have multiple studios working on these games and cycling through them. So their development time is like 3 years and you have three studios working on it. You're making billions of dollars. You can afford it. The thing is, they don't want to put the money into it because they're going to make those billions of dollars, whether they put out a piece of crap or they put out a great piece of, you know, quality content. It's such a monetarily minimal difference in what they're going to make, you know, other than the praise or whatnot. They just don't care is what it is.
Well, again, the best thing you can do is vote with your wallet. And, you know, if you don't agree with it, you've got to resist the temptation to buy the game and especially the DLC that's within the game. But the reality is, especially in the streaming culture, you know, people, you feel that they need to play those latest and greatest things to get those views. And that may be true that, you know, there's lots of streamers out there. And if you're not streaming the thing somebody wants to see, they'll go somewhere else. But I think even we as people that consume streams have to, if we believe strongly enough that this game sucks and shouldn't be supported, the development behind it, that we have to stop watching those types of streams. And that goes for much more than just Madden. That also goes for something like Anthem, which was something that was up my alley, but the issues with that game were transparent from the very beginning. And it's really too bad. So, all right. Well, let's move on and talk about the games that we are enjoying in a segment called How Was Your Gaming Week? And so what are we supporting this week with our playtime? We'll go to Dark Sakura. How was your gaming week?
My gaming week was pretty fun. I, of course, was playing Dead by Daylight. I actually played some killer matches. I had a very funny thing happen. So I made some new friends, but let me tell you how I made my new friends. Gwen had to sign off, and we normally play together, so I ended up playing killer. And, you know, as I've been wont to do lately, I've just been sort of fucking off and letting survivors have a good time, you know, just trying to do my challenges and letting people out, you know, because so many other killers are big, you know, stink nuggets. And then I made friends with two of the survivors in the end game chat. And I was like, well, hey, do you mind if I swift with you? And they're like, yeah, come swift with us. And so I played with them, and then we made friends with the killer in the end game chat after that. So I have started following Paisley Panda, that's Paisley with an IE, who is absolutely a delightful non-binary Dead by Daylight killer learning huntress, and absolutely, you know, fun. But I've never had something like that happen, and I think that it goes back to kind of my whole theory about, you know, if you have a chance and a reason to be nice in the end game chat, then sometimes it can work out to your advantage. You can make friends, and, you know, and then if the person is a shit to you, then you just make them look bad because you're a nice person and they're not. But in this case, it was a very interesting situation that happened. I made new friends to play with and found another streamer who does some absolutely delightful content. And I had a good time. I'm also working on at least getting all of my survivors to Prestige 1, and I'm trying to talk myself into playing Wesker. It's just, I don't feel right playing Wesker right now with all of the fucking Weskers that are every fucking where game.
I won't play him either.
Yeah, I can wait on my adept. I'm not hyper about it. I've also, of course, been playing Cult of the Lamb, which is a very delightful game. Funny enough, okay, so I didn't stream Final Fantasy IV last night like I normally do because we lucked into tickets to see Weird Al. And we missed the chance to get the tickets in the first place because we had already been to the tour. It's the one where he does all of his original, like the style parodies and not the actual parodies. But when we went to the first one, it was all unplugged, and this one wasn't. It was, you know, full on guitars and everything. It was really fun. We sat with a couple of guys, and one of them had a Triforce tattoo, and we just started talking about games. He's like, so there's this game called Cult of the Lamb. I'm like, oh yeah, I streamed that thing on Mondays. And he's like, awesome. And then we just chatted for a little bit.
Where was the show? Is that here in Sac?
It was at the Mondavi Center in Davis.
Oh, okay. Okay. I haven't been there in a long time. I think I saw Margaret Cho there once.
And I saw Margaret Cho.
Yeah, I think that was like the only time I've ever been there. Okay, cool.
That was, I think, the last time I went there, and they've really built up around that. I haven't seen the Weird Al biopic yet, but he did talk about it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. Of course, I've seen UHF 50,000 times. I got engaged to that movie. But
I don't think the biopic's out yet. Because I definitely want to see that.
It's November.
Yeah.
And actually, Bobby just said that. But I'm really, I'm looking forward to that. And of course, to getting my pinball table. I played Doctor Who pinball today and actually had a very decent third ball. That game likes to drain like a bitch. But I had multi-ball happen a couple of times. And I keep forgetting just how much the Dalek voice in that one, because the speakers aren't the best, makes my head hurt. Of course, I already had a headache. And of course, tonight I'm going to be playing Dead by Daylight later, if anyone wants to play with me and Gwen. I've also been really hooked on my Wordscapes, like unbelievably hooked on my Wordscapes. Especially now that they seem to have had new puzzles released, because I'm finally starting to see different words. I like that one of the words now is Eureka, and that it still doesn't like for me to play body parts. Although it does recognize that orgy is a word, it will not recognize butt sex. Because remember, you can't spell subtext without butt sex. It's true.
Useful life advice. Thank you.
Useful. I learned the hard way. It's the same letters. I'm also trying to, I'm about ready to finish Final Fantasy IV. So I'm trying to decide if I want to do 5 or move on to Star Ocean. So I'm probably putting a poll up. I'm personally leaning toward 5 just because I haven't played the game in an age.
Yeah, and
I've never played Star Ocean, so
5 is a little weirder because, you know, those of us in the U.S.
Very job system.
Well, it's just that, but those of us in the U.S. don't have those high school memories or whatever you want to call it of 5, because we never got to play 5 until when did they finally officially release it here? Was it in the PS1 Classics era when they finally let us play that game, or was it even later than that? Yes.
I had played translated copies of it before.
I remember the translated ROM. That's how I played it in college. But even the translated ROM had its issues, you know. It was still weird. Yeah.
Butts.
All right. Oh, yeah. But, the character's name was Butts.
Yeah. I always translated it as like Batsu, as in like, you know, the same spelling as Batsu from Project Justice or Shiditsu Justice Gakuen. But there's other people who do it like as Barts or something. I just say Batsu.
Yeah.
But I don't remember a whole lot of it, even though I've beaten it. So I'm looking forward to refamiliarizing myself with that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I haven't played Star Ocean. I also have Emerald Dragon. But I'm trying to decide when I play that if I'm going to do the TurboGrafx version, because I do own the TurboGrafx version.
Mm-hmm.
Like a legit Japanese one, or if I'm gonna play the Super Famicom one, and also I picked up a game, and I don't think he can hear me, but I picked up Kunio Dodgeball, as in Super Dodgeball.
Oh,
on Super Famicom.
Great.
So I'm hoping that spouse gets a kick out of it, even though we've got it on the EverDrive.
All right.
Well, oh, one last thing.
Yeah.
On TeePublic, I found Vib Ribbon t-shirts and stickers, and I have a Vib Ribbon sticker now that when you're doing your gaming week, I will try to find my picture album and show.
There is a dangerous sale on that site yesterday because
there's always dangerous sales on there.
I know, right?
That's why I got this shirt.
I absolutely want a Vib Ribbon shirt. It's so cute, and I love Vibri. In fact, to the point that I've been considering finding a copy of Moji Ribbon, even though it's very text heavy.
What is
or
your
Vib Ribbon too?
What is your shirt, Loki? Because the microphone kind of blocks it for us, so I can't really see what's on it.
It's a Met.
Oh,
I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's hard to see, but yeah, okay.
And one more thing.
Yeah,
I might have said it. I ordered a reverse bear trap today.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the beginning. That's all right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Loki and talk about your gaming week. How is your gaming week?
So I played mostly Minecraft this week.
Shock.
As usual. I know. Shocking. I've been working on that massive project still, which I just about done with. I have the main body done, and now I'm finishing up with the last bits of the arms and stuff. So that'll be coming this week in a video. I wanted to have it out this weekend, but it was too massive to be able to finish this week. And I tried lots of hours, like 80 some hours in there. I also played Trombone Champion. I think that's what it's called now.
Yeah, Trombone Champ.
Yeah, Trombone Champ. Very fun game. Very strange game. Hard for me to play that. I don't know, like, with the mouse stuff, like, I feel like it's hard to, like, kind of move fast enough. I think I need to adjust some of the settings in there. I definitely took off the inverted controls because that was annoying. But, yeah, it's a funny game. I like the mix between, like, it's like Wii Music almost, like, the presentation of it with, like, baboons and, like, and what else? Like, they also have, all sorts of like weird sirens and stuff going off in it. And it's just a really weird mashup of things, but it's funny. It's worth checking out.
All right.
So yeah, I wanted to get to Monkey Island this week, but I didn't get to that, but hopefully soon.
All right. My gaming week. So you might notice if you're watching live on Twitch, I have these giant headphones cause they're new. I bought new headphones this week because my other ones finally died, which was sad, and it was getting very annoying. But it's been nice to actually be able to hear games again. The audio is really it's a Razer Kraken. I think this is the V3, so it was on sale. So yeah, it does the chroma lights in it, although they're very hard to see on the stream right now. But yeah, so like when I play Diablo 3, they turn red and all that silly stuff. So
that's pretty rad.
Yeah, it's fun. It's silly, but it's fun. But as far as games that I've been enjoying using it, a lot of the same old stuff. You know, I've also been playing Dead by Daylight. I'm getting really close to finishing this tome, which I never do. I never do. So that is quite an accomplishment in itself. Mostly
really good cosmetics, by the way. in the Rift. Did you get them?
No, when I say finish, I mean get through the fourth page. I never even get that far. So, but I'm only like two challenges away. So I'm going to stream tomorrow to try to finish because I'm really close. I made really good progress on the gen.
I'll play with you.
Generator. Okay, I should be around after work. I'm just not sure the specific starting time. I'm up
tomorrow for the holiday, and that should be after services.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, it should be about 4:30. So I'll be playing a little bit of that, trying to finish that. And I did a little killer as well. So I played that all on stream, my own stream on Friday. I've also been playing Final Fantasy 14. I finished the island, which I think I may have done last week, got my island to rank 10. But this week, I actually built every building the farthest it could go. So I've built all my granaries to level 3, all the workshops to level 3. So like literally everything is maxed out. And then I found out there is another special artifact that you can make, but it's a really hard crafting project. So I can either buy the mats for 3 million gil, which I'm thinking about doing, or I can just invest in my crafters and try to make this. So it's called a water otter fountain. So I'm trying to make that for my island. I'm telling you, some people raid, some people glamour. I am all in on that stupid island life thing. It's great. And I'm so excited for them to make enhancements to it later.
Sounds like Animal Crossing.
I would say it's definitely influenced by that, but it's more the the farming sim games that are aplenty in Japanese
like
culture.
A Rune Factory
that we see over
thing,
yeah, almost. All of it. So it's it's not as in depth, but it's definitely inspired by that stuff. So let's see. Pod Culture says you didn't go for the kitty ear version talking about my headphones. Twitch Tay Plays Games calls me a fake streamer. No, I did these generic, bland, heterosexual black ones were on sale. So I just bought the, cause price always is going to win over functions. So there is that. Let's see. So what else have I played during my gaming week? I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey, a little more of that on Wednesday. I'm still liking that game more than I thought I would. Don't love the boat fights, though, because once you get like a full big boat, then you get into these things where you get into like archer fights with other boats and these big boat. I didn't like that part. It was really clunky to me. I don't like trying to drive the boat around and all that stuff. That part's not fun. But that's otherwise just a blemish on what I'm still enjoying as a game. That was pretty fun. Okay, so Rob, you've talked about most of those games and playing before. Did you play anything new this week? Yes, I did. I did play one new game this week. And so we actually have a story coming up later in the show about this series of games. And I decided to jump in and buy one of them. So it's the Atari Recharged games.
Oh, so that's right. That was out. I forgot about that.
That is exactly the reaction I had.
Or is that the collection or is that like just the remade game?
Okay. They are working on a collection. There's that. There's like a 50 collection. There's the mini game thing, the WarioWare thing, but with Atari. That is coming out in October. But I didn't even realize these Recharge things, which they've done for Centipede, Breakout, Gravatar, Asteroids. Like there's quite a few of them, right? They're out. And they've been now, I think they were out on Atari VCS first, but of course, how many people actually bought into that? And I think Atari's starting to realize that too. So they've been doing these releases on Steam. So the one that I picked up was Yar's Revenge Recharge because I love that 2600 game. I don't know how many of you remember that from back in the day, but here's a little peek at what it looks like for those that are watching on Twitch. So you can see it has a lot of the similar mechanic from the first game where you try to go in, you're trying to either shoot the shields or you can eat the shields, and then you're charging that giant photon laser that you then try to blast the main cannon with. If you've ever played the original Yar's Revenge, that will make a little more sense than if you've never played the game, then it just sounds like I'm kind of just speaking of another language, which, I get it. But of course, the thing about this game is because it's recharged, it's very pretty, bright, has that kind of geometry wars. And literally it's a twin stick shooter now, because, you know, the Atari 2600 only had what, the joystick and the one button now, but of course they changed it into a twin stick shooter. But of course the levels become a lot more elaborate. So for example, on Twitch, we're watching a stage where you have the main cannon in the center, but then you have six sub cannons around the main cannon, and the main cannon powers one of the sub cannons at a time to do a different type of move. So it adds a little bit of chaos into the generic formula, or into the regular formula from the old game, which, you know, might have felt a little generic because it was on the Atari 2600. Is this game like a revolutionary twin stick shooter? Nah. But does it do the nostalgia factor pretty well? Yeah. Like, I was pleasantly surprised. I kind of like this a lot more than I thought I would. So there's that. So that was another game I played this week, was Yars Revenge Recharged. And now I'm a little curious to check out maybe some of those other Atari Recharge games as well. I'm not sure they're all fantastic. And I think you have to remember, they are more inspired versions when, you know, keep in mind, Atari 2600 games fit into 4,000 kilobyte cartridges, most of them. That's 4,000 characters, okay? That's a lot to squeeze into a cartridge. And so the game loops in these games were very simple. And so these Recharged games are just kind of enhancing that game loop with some graphics and some other little tricks, but they're not going to totally reinvent the game. Because remember, there was like a Yars Revenge sequel they did on like Xbox 360, and it wasn't that good, because it just completely deviated. It's like they just took a new type of shooter game and put the Yars Revenge name on it. So yeah, Tiger Claw is actually talking about it. I remember when they tried to reboot this game as a rail shooter, it was a name only. Good thing they made what looks like a true remake of the original. I'm not sure I would call it a remake of the original, but yes, I otherwise get where you're going with that comment, is that it retains the spirit of the original much better than a rail shooter, which, you know, was just any old other rail shooter did. So Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I played Asteroid and Centipede Recharged. They're fun, but I think my one complaint was that it's a one life and you're done game instead of three. But again, that kind of goes back to some of the old game loops. Although I think, you know, even Asteroids in the arcade and Centipede, you did have three lives. So I think in this one, in Yars, you have three health states. So that might be the type of thing they're doing instead, is that instead of three lives, you get three health states. So I haven't played those other ones yet, but I'll probably pick them up. I enjoyed Yars Revenge Recharged enough to go, okay, because it was only $10. And I think Missile Command Recharged is like $3 right now. So, you know, they're not trying to charge $60-$70 for them, which is good, because that would be laughable.
They would never get that.
Yeah, they'd never get that. So $10, that's a lot more reasonable. So, yeah. All right, we're going to get into some more gaming news. First, though, I just want to remind everybody, we will be here live next week on October 2nd. We will not be live on October 9th, as mentioned plenty during the show. Otherwise, Dark Soccer and I both are going to be in San Diego at TwitchCon. We will not be back in time for the show. I don't fly back till Monday, and you heard Dark Soccer earlier say she's doing Disneyland on Monday, so we won't be back in time for the show. So it'll be Bobby will be here that night, though, so you can certainly tune in to VOG Network and check out Bobby Black Wolf. Maybe he'll run long. Maybe he can call you next week or in 2 weeks, Loki. I don't know. Or Loki, I don't know if you're planning on doing a stream or anything, but or maybe
I don't
just,
know yet.
Just take a night off. You earned it. It's hard to say you didn't earn it. So
there's no time to take time off. I have to keep making stuff.
So you have to keep mining and crafting. All right.
Did I tell you how many materials are 300,000 blocks? 185 shulker boxes worth of materials.
I was going to say, I thought your last build was something like 200,000 blocks. You said this one is 300,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for the YouTube. All right. Let's move on. Let's get into tonight's official first story, which has to do with some other ongoing Twitch issues, of which there were several this week. So
there was a lot.
Start us off with the first couple, Loki.
Twitch has had a week. So starting things off, there was a live stream by a streamer known as Slicker, who basically admitted to, after being called out about it, to stealing, or I should say scamming people out of $200,000 to fund his gambling addiction. So he was, I guess he was betting on CSGO stuff. I'm not really sure if that was the case. I thought it was sports betting is what I thought it was, but may have been CSGO. Who knows? It doesn't matter. So he came out and basically he was going and asking people, like making up stories like, oh yeah, my funds are frozen. He would go ask his streamer friends. He would ask his viewers, just ridiculous stuff. And then finally admitted to it.
Tayplay Games in our chat is clarifying CSGO is what first ignited it, but it was sports betting.
Yeah, I thought it was sports betting, and I think it was more than 200,000 too. I think it ended up being like 350,000. But it was a lot of money they scammed out of different people. So there was that. That kind of kicked everything off. So then when people started hearing about it, of course, reacting to it and stuff, there was this movement by Pokimane, Ms. Kiff, and I think others as well, that had been Devin Nash, I guess, who had been threatening to boycott Twitch for a week during Christmas to perform or to protest their kind of supporting these gambling streams, lax policies on them. So they made this, like, they were talking about and stuff like that. So then fast forward to shortly thereafter, where Twitch comes out.
Can I just jump in before you get to the Twitch thing? I have to say it because I know there's plenty of you that are thinking it, and there's a lot of people that are saying this. In fact, there's Bobby Blackwolf into chat saying this too. It's amazing. And Bobby says, it's amazing how these top tier streamers know they can throw their weight around like this, but they were silent during the hate raids. Actually, not all of them were silent. I believe some of them were on record because, you know, when you do YouTubes and you do these streamings, you have these clips out there. Some of them were on record saying, and I quote, what was the hashtag they were using for the Twitch day off for that? A day without Twitch, I think was what they were calling it. I'm sorry if I'm messing the name up. It was a few months ago and I don't recall. But with some of these streamers, these same people, some of them, were on the record saying a day off Twitch will never work. And yet with this, now they're going and they're saying this is what we need to do. So it definitely looked not good. Now, you know, I think Pokimane or one of them, and I'm sorry if I'm misattributing. I'm a grown ass man. I don't have enough time to follow a lot of this Twitch drama and who said what and he said, she said, and all this crap. So I can really only look at the bottom line sometimes. But one of them went on record and said, I've learned a lot since then. And, you know, I was trying to be quiet. I was trying to do things behind the scenes last time and make change happen. But I've learned since then that you have to get loud. Okay. So I will smile, acknowledge politely one clap your evolution that you've come full circle and you realized, but you have to understand it is incredibly frustrating for many people when you were supposed to have their backs during this hate raid crisis that you as a big streamer came off as not caring because it's not something that affects you, or can't you just put your stream into follow only mode or any of this stuff? Because unfortunately, a lot of these big streamers have not had to deal with being called a slur, whether racial, sexual, other type of minorities and so forth. I mean, look at the most popular streamers. Most of them have never had to deal with being called a slur before. So they clearly don't understand the psychological toll that it takes on a lot of people, and that it's much more than just clicking a button to make it all stop and go away. So I that part has to be said, because there's a lot of voices out there, especially folks, you know, people of color and other minorities out there that are saying, like, where were y'all when it was the hate raids? And it does need to be said. Like, again, I can applaud evolution, and okay, we do need to, if you got to educate people, and if people are showing they're educated, then okay. But it also seems like, and I got to be honest, I'm not trying to poo-poo gambling addiction. It's a serious issue. It's a serious thing and so forth. But it's also kind of like one guy's issue that really blew up. And I understand that there's also much more gambling stuff that's on Twitch, especially when we get into the seedy crypto sites and that type of stuff. And I completely understand that Twitch at the end of the day is ultimately responsible for what's on its shelf, right? A store if they don't want to carry something on the shelf, they don't have to carry that particular item on the shelf.
I'm just surprised that this is what they decided to address.
That's the weird thing that it took this for you to decide crypto gambling was something that maybe should be addressed. Or I don't know. They're trying to. I get the sense they're kind of trying to say now that, well, we were going to do this the whole time, and now we're going to unveil our policy today because of all this chatter that's been going on. It just, the timing is a little. Yeah, Tay says I'm surprised. You're surprised. Yeah, sure. Nothing should be shocking anymore. Yeah, I get it. It's just the timing, sus, right? That whole thing. So,
They're supposed to be making, so they made it. Twitch came out later on, said, we're basically going to crack down on some things. So they're going to be making a policy update on the 18th, which is really random that it's on a Tuesday, to prohibit streaming of gambling sites that include slots, roulette, dice games that aren't licensed in the U.S. or other jurisdictions that provide sufficient consumer protection. These sites will include stake.com, rollbit.com, dualbits, and rubet.com. However, they may identify others as they move forward. Sports betting, fantasy sports, and poker are still going to be continuing to be allowed on the site.
I do want to make I just want to make sure I'm very clear on something too, because I'll get corrected on it regardless. A couple things here. So a lot of this has to do with these crypto gambling sites and things that are a lot more shady. And what's really shady about it was that they were paying big name streamers, basically giving them free money on the house money, lots of big money to make big bets on these sites that, for all I know, now I don't know how it all works behind the scenes, but for all I know, could have been rigged to ensure that, because you know you can tell a slot machine what the payout should be, so it could easily be rigged for a certain user to make sure that they are actually going to win on that money to entice other people to come into that site and spend a lot of money. That is the part. That,
like they did with the CSGO gambling stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's
the
fucking shady part that no one anywhere, including Twitch, should really. And I'm surprised that these, well, again, I'm not surprised, but you know, that these big name streamers on Twitch are willing to tie their entire identity to it. And none of them are going down with the ship, which is fascinating to me. But y'all make your choices about who you want to watch. Cool. There's a lot of other streams out there. Like I know, like on YouTube, I have a friend, a really good friend of mine, who loves gambling YouTubes. And like, so what she watches people go to Vegas and they film like and I didn't even know Vegas would let you do this, but apparently they will because it's all promo for them. They will film themselves playing slot machines and put it on, but they're walking into an establishment, playing the actual game and filming it. And then, you know, putting it out for better and for worse, because usually it goes the other way, onto YouTube. And I've like, there's big conventions for this stuff and all of it, but there's a huge key difference. It's not crypto. It's licensed in the US. And it's the person that goes in and sits down at the machine is getting the exact same thing that anyone who comes in and walks and plays that machine would get. So,
yeah, I've had someone made comments about how, I don't know if they had gambling issues or someone they knew had gambling issues, that like watching these streams, because like not the obviously the crypto ones, but like the slots streams where they're not always winning. So it's not like, you know, it's kind of more reinforcing the fact that, you know, I may have these, you know, compulsions to play slots, but there's a good chance I won't win this stuff, like kind of. Bringing you back to reality, I guess, instead of, you know, a big dopamine hit that, oh my God, you're going to make so much money off this stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of a unique tag. I haven't heard that before. But yeah, I know some of the people behind all this stuff, like Pokimane and stuff like that. I mean,
let me get into our.
They're as strange as a controversy, let's put it that way.
There's a lot of comments in chat here over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I want to get to some of these. Tay Plays Games, a lot of good insight here, saying hate raids against 10 viewer count people are irrelevant to Twitch. The site is so insanely top heavy that unless it's an issue impacting the top 5% of streamers, Twitch is going to give us platitudes and empty promises. Correct statement. It sucks, but that is the way it's been for a lot of things. YouTube is honestly no different in that regard. And a lot of these sites, you know, they're going to cater to the people that are having the most views and all of this stuff. And, you know, to hell with the 10 viewers and so forth, which sucks. It was only when all of those 10 viewer channels banded together and put their foot down and said, this shit needs to change now, Twitch. The Twitch finally came out, and I'm talking about the hate raids, of course, finally came out and did something and, you know, showed the new tools and the changes they were doing with all of this. That I hope we continue to hear more about how people can protect themselves from harassment on this platform at TwitchCon, because we know they're saving something under the curtain to unveil at the TwitchCon keynote. There's going to be some silly new feature that's going to make Twitch money, because Twitch really needs to make money right now based on some of these other things Loki's going to get to. What I think I'd love to hear more about, and I'm sure Dark Sakura would love to hear more about, and lots of people out there would love to hear more about, is, again, how can I, what are the tools to better protect myself from harassment on this platform in order for me to invest myself more in it? So that would be what I'd love to hear in a keynote. Anyway, let me get some more comments from chat. SG100 Matt says, but what if you have a podcast or talk show on Twitch where you're talking about gambling and crypto, giving people advice about gambling and crypto? Aren't those just as bad? It's all in how it's framed. I would say kind of yes, because you're glamorizing it. But are you taking the responsibility to say, while you're saying that, to also say, here are some things you can look for to see if you might be addicted to gambling? And I'm not talking about just throwing out a 1-800 number and saying, if you or somebody have a loved one have a gambling problem, call 1-800. No, that is there is no meat on that bone that you're throwing that crowd. Okay, there's not even meat on that bone. At least taking some steps on how to identify. And again, I would say the really big issue is the site paying the streamer to gamble and win so that other people are encouraged to do that. That was the big problem there.
Buying reviews.
It's buying reviews. It really is. And I want to get to this where Tay Place Game says in chat, morality for those people tends to go out the window when they're quite literally making millions of dollars from streaming deals with crypto gambling. Not saying it's right or that I agree with it, but it's very understandable why people would sell their souls. And that's a very, I'm trying to think of the right word here, but it's a good point. And it's just one of those things where it's like, it's one of those, some pills are hard to swallow. And that is a hard one to swallow, but absolutely true, is that everybody has a price and some are just showing theirs pretty openly with this. So
that's legit.
Tay also, sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, how much is are your ethics worth?
Yeah. Tay in chat also says, agreed, Rob, solidarity means banding together to protect ourselves, because we sure as fuck won't get it from Twitch, nor will we get support from the largest streamers. They won't rock the boat. So I'm glad, though, at least the small streamers are holding the large streamers accountable with a lot of this. So and we should always continue to do so. Let's see. SG100 Matt says, there are those coin machine games, drop a coin and it pushed the other coins down, on YouTube, that are strangely pleasing to watch. But again,
those are Dave and Buster's.
I feel like, again, doing YouTubes of those where you're walking into a Dave and Buster's or whatever it is, and it ethically, all you're doing is you're just filming what you're doing anyway. You're not getting paid by the site to do it. The odds are no better or worse than any other person that would walk in there. So your odds are you're going to see defeat more than you see winning. I think there's a lot of stuff there where it's like, you know, I understand it. And actually, you know, again, a lot of people might scratch the itch, so to speak, by watching that stuff on YouTube as opposed to going down and spending a bunch of money themselves. So I see some things out of it that might be good as well. I see them as very, very different things. DJ Rama S in chat says, on a side note, I know someone who lost his fiance over gambling. He kept spending his money on gacha games. And that's a very good reminder, especially as we're talking about this Madden stuff at the top of the show and all this other stuff. Very good reminder that gambling is not just 777. there's much other different forms of gambling than just 777. And of course, I'm speaking about a slot machine when, you know, that whole thing.
You're talking about Final Fantasy VII, where you get the all sevens and then you...
No.
I'm not sure.
I sure am not.
Hi, Siri.
Yeah. Sorry. Sometimes I go on rants and Siri thinks I'm talking to her. Phil of Nine in chat says money and profit are always prioritized. And especially when we hear, and I got to let Loki get to these other parts of things going on with Twitch. When we hear about some of these, oh yes, profit is very much prioritized right now. I want to get to some of these other comments in chat. Gadats says, I can't tell if it's because of the drama recently or because gambling agencies are looking to broadcast elsewhere, but I've been seeing ads for gambling websites recently when I never used to see them. Because people are starting to find loopholes with gambling laws is a huge part of it. And I think while it's still open season on this stuff until they lock some of it down, I believe we have propositions on the ballot here in California about very much this sort of thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, yeah, they're doing some crazy claims about different things on, I've seen commercials because I'm watching Peacock now and they have commercials.
It's everywhere. Yeah. So let's see. And Tiger Claw in chat says gambling can really affect one's mental health. Absolutely. I mean, when we talk about gambling addiction, that is a mental health problem at the end of the day, right? And, you know, some people have to admit that they may have a problem. And again, it is much more than saying, you know, if you or a loved one have a gambling problem, call 1-800-STOP-GAMBLING or whatever the number is, like in such a half-assed thing to try to cover your ass. I think you have to really talk about, like, if you're, again, to answer the question that came up earlier about what if I have a podcast that talks about this type of stuff? You need to really focus and give long, hard insight as to what gambling might look like. So
it's not just slot machines and Keno, you know.
Well, it's gotcha in this too. Yeah. Absolutely. Card packs, booster packs, all of it.
Yeah, all of, I mean, anything.
Genshin Impact, Diablo Immortal.
Anything that has some sort of random chance is technically a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all in the way it's done. If it's just really, really sticky. I mean, and if one wants to really, you know, go into it, every day you make a decision is a gamble, but those decisions aren't necessarily ones that are going to ruin your life and the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
Or especially, you remember when we did Neopets back in the day and Gaia Online, those things were technically kid gambling. You know, they had some of those different aspects in it, you know. Both of them had their own freaking stock markets, practically.
Speaking of kid gambling, this is where the chat comments are going right now. Tiger Claw in chat points out Pokemon Go is a gotcha as well. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tay Plays Game says, you guys didn't talk about it, but one other point, Twitch sorts by default from highest to lowest. And this site is visited by a lot of kids who literally see the top 10 streams and two or three of them are shady crypto slots. That type of content is very front and center to developing minds. Oh, that is an excellent point. Although, and I'm not trying to what about your point. I do want to make sure yes, that point. I did notice, though, within the past week and a half or so, that Twitch stopped showing me viewers high to low, even with my own following list. And now it shows me who you most want to watch, we think, low.
I hate it. I hate it. I only care about the people I'm following because I followed them for a reason.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. We have talked about, Tay Plays Game says, I'm part of an experiment. It's not like that for everyone yet. Well, I'm open to experimenting, you know. I wish I would have been asked first, but that's all right. Okay, so I didn't know that wasn't open to everyone first. But again, I'm not trying to dismiss the point. I just try to...
I have it right now, yeah.
I was thinking in my brain, I was like, is that why Twitch did that, was to try to get away from that? But I sort of think at the end of the day, especially if you're new to Twitch and you haven't established that pattern of what you like, then of course they're going to show you the top streams and a lot of it's going to fall into this whole type of thing. So
I do have to say, though, that the streams it's been showing me lately are people that I'm already following. Maybe it is working. I don't know.
Derek JH in chat says, but with my special system, I can't lose. It's like free money. Oh, well, you must be in the same program that XQC. Did I name names? That those folks are in that are playing those games online, that basically the house is giving them money and the house is letting them win. You must be in that same program. Congrats.
He's the good guy because he's giving back half of the money that that guy scammed the other people out of. So he's the good guy, right?
Anyway, there's been more Twitch drama this week. I mean, that's enough Twitch drama to fill a week, but let's talk about... But wait,
no.
There's more.
Oh, wait, there's more. So then, Twitch decided to come out and tell everybody about their brand new revenue split. That's right. So now what they're going to be doing as well is they're going to be updating the monetization of some of their larger partners. I think it's really right now, some of the partners have a special 70-30 revenue split right now, but that's going to change to 50-50. What they're saying is they're basically going to the ones that have that special, I guess, deal right now, it's going to be for the first 100,000 that they make are going to be 70-30. Then afterwards, it's going to be 50-50. And then everything else is going to be 50-50. The reason why they're
saying they're losing people.
The reason why, and this is the best part, this is some mental gymnastics for you. The reason why they say they need to drop that split and take more of that money, by the way, also pushing more ads on the platform that also hurt people finding new streamers, is because Amazon Web Services is expensive. And it's just too expensive for them to... run a company that uses Amazon Web Services because that company, Amazon, just charges them too much. Wait, hold on a second. No, they're owned by Amazon, so that doesn't make any goddamn sense. So they're basically saying that, you know, daddy company is charging me too much money for this company to run. What? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But that's the excuse, is that it costs too much to run. So... And their revenue split.
They tried to put out that stat that was like somebody who streams for what was it, for 100 concurrent viewers, 200 hours would cost them like a $1,500 or something. I don't know what the number was.
It was more than that. It was for 100 concurrent streamer or 100 concurrent viewers for 200 hours a month are more than costs more than $1,000 per month for them. Let's put it this way. If you are a streamer that's putting out 200 hours worth of streams in a month, that's a lot of stream time.
And you're holding 100 concurrent viewers through them. You are by far in the top percentage, probably decimal fractional percentage of Twitch, and crypto gambling sites probably want to partner with you.
Like, that's a lot of money. You would probably be making a ton of money from just streaming in general that they would be taking a portion of anyways. You're telling me that you can't pay $100 or $1,000 to run that? That's too much for you? Which I don't believe, because Amazon's a trillion-dollar company, and, like, I just don't believe that. I'm sorry. It just doesn't... Who are you trying to convince here?
Here's the thing. And Dijeroma S in chat says, if you're pulling 100K a month... The 70-30 split ain't going to break your bank. It's 100K on a rotating calendar year. So, but that's still, you know, you're talking about people that have 100, and that's just what they're making off Twitch. That doesn't count any type of other licensing deals, sponsorship deals, merchandise deals, direct PayPal donations and things of that sort, convention appearances for some of them and those sorts of things. So it's 100K on a rotating, I mean, but that's a decent chunk of change, right? And here's the thing. If you're pulling 100K a month, the 70-30 split ain't going to break your bank. And there is a part of me that certainly lands on that side of the fence where it's like, well, it's hard to feel super. Isn't this interesting? My, how the tables have turned, because now here's something where the partners could really use the little people in this fight. Anyway, but
let's bring it full circle.
I think where this bothers people is there were a lot of people at that affiliate level that wanted to grow into 70/30 and had those dreams of getting bigger and so forth and so on, that now they're not going to be able to do because, oh, Twitch is starting to pull back a little bit. And I think, again, another big problem here is optics, messaging. And very clearly, this statement that has come out has its issues. Was not run by any sort of audience that was going to give an honest feedback and honest assessment of what was going on with this statement and so forth. Because a smarter way to have rolled out a message like this would have been, we're going to be changing the split here, but here's another way that you can earn money, or here's something else we're going to be putting place.
Well, they're upping their ad revenue split, so you get 55% of that now.
Which is beans for the vast majority of people, and the only way you do that is to opt into 3 minutes of ads in an hour, which I think you can time the ads yourself. Most people are too lazy to do so they run the automatic ads. I've gotten on this boat before. I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I'm just gonna say, automatic ads on a small channel, you are kneecapping yourself severely to growth. Huge difference. I want to make sure I'm clear. Huge difference between automatic ads and I need to go poop. I'm going to run an ad while I'm pooping. Because with an automatic ad, you're missing content. And I can't tell you how annoyed. Nothing gets me to turn a channel off faster. And there are some big streamers that do this, even ones that play Dead by Daylight. I'll be watching and they're right at the end of the match. It's like, and oddly enough, it's all killer streams I've seen do this. Watching a match, and are they about to get a forehook? Oh, Wilson. And then an ad jumps in, cuts off the rest of the match, and comes back to the screen where everybody's going, and it's the wrap up of the match. So I completely missed the climax of the match because the automatic ad. I turn those streams off. I unfollow them if I'm unfollowing the streamer, because that is garbage content that they're putting out. And that is the truth.
Experimented with the automatic ads.
Oh, you experimented with them.
I experimented with it. I did it for like a month because I figured a month would be enough time to see how well it worked. I did the recommended thing to get the 55% revenue, whatever that Twitch was preaching. And I found it to be more annoying than anything else. So I'm doing another experiment right now where I'm doing a 30-second ad once an hour.
Okay.
To see if it's any better for people, because honestly enough, I'm gonna forget. And so far, I think it's been a little bit less obtrusive, although I will sometimes go ahead and just run one to run one instead. But I really did not like that 3 minutes every hour bullshit. I thought that it really annoyed people. People would complain about the ads more, to the point where I'm like, yes, I know, stop telling me, you know. And now I'm there's a benefit to having automatic ads if it's not something that you would likely remember to do, but I have mine set at the very bare minimum, and I'm gonna see exactly how it works.
While I completely respect whatever choices you want to make with your content, I implore you, even with the short ads, really think about what content you might be sacrificing to do that. Because we talked about earlier, how much is your content worth?
And I'm testing it out. Yeah, that's all I'm doing is testing it.
I would be curious if you look at the revenue you make off that. I think you're really going to assess this ain't worth it.
Just about nothing. I mean, to be perfectly honest, because I've switched it back about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I don't see any point. It's like you were saying earlier, I'd rather run the ad when I go to the bathroom, you know,
exactly.
Which is all the time.
Well, and it's a good idea to just get stretch and hydrate once an hour anyway. It's a good reminder to you to do that, right?
Well, I mean, that's why I stream when I do, because I start at 4, 5 o'clock, I go feed the cat, you know?
Yeah.
But I wanted to see how it worked. I figured giving myself a few weeks of testing it to see how it is in the real world. I would rather participate in it and form an opinion based on my experience.
Yeah.
than to, I guess, read and guess about it. I would rather see it in action. And now that I've seen it in action, I can flat out say, yeah, shit. And thank you for reminding me. I meant to change mine back this week.
Nothing wrong with an educated perspective. I'm not going to.
Exactly.
You know,
I want.
Poop on that.
I'm a firm believer that, I mean, I think that you can form a better opinion when you're in the situation, you know, rather than just on looking at the straight details of it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see how is this working. I'm not a big streamer. It's not going to affect me that badly to test it out. But honestly, it was shit. It was really shit. It was annoying. And I would watch, because whenever I'm playing, I keep my dashboard open so that I can see when the ads are coming up and when my pre-roll is disabled and all of that. And it was just as easy for me to set it when I got the warning about pre-roll coming up. So.
Yeah. Now going to some other comments from chat. SSJ100 Matt says, I think going from 70-30 to 50-50 is a big shift on short notice. Folks have made this into a career. If your employer is telling you they're going to be taking out for more of your paycheck, don't be surprised if your employees leave. And I think a big thing I'm hearing everywhere right now is diversify, diversify, diversify. Do not put all of your eggs into Twitch's basket, which is exactly what Twitch does not need people doing right now if they really are in these, you know, dire financial straits. And that goes back to the comments. Somebody had talked about a billion. Oh, SJ100 Matt said, to play devil's advocate, Amazon spent a lot of money, $1 billion, to acquire Twitch. If the service by itself is not returning on that investment as readily, why not reduce the split? If Twitch is Amazon's weakest revenue, just speculating but don't know for sure, why not try to get more out of it? It's just all of the money arguments are really hard to look at when you look at how much Jeff Bezos puts in his pocket every minute. Versus
started
what
from nothing is pretty bullshit.
And that's the very hard pill to swallow, is that that's what makes all of this like it look like bullshit and all, is just because meanwhile Jeff Bezos is still pocketing how much? And I'm supposed to feel sorry for the bitch? I don't.
The thing is that if they expected to make a lot of money on people playing video games, they shouldn't have. They should have just stuck with their cloud service and not deal with Twitch. Twitch is kind of a niche. I'm going to say it. I mean, with as big as the events that they have and some of the streamers that they have, it's still, you know, it's not something I would have expected to be a very big money maker. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah. Questbuster in chat says, a streamer I sometimes watch has shifted more of their effort to making YouTube content after one of their videos went viral for them and started generating more revenue for them. They get a few hundred viewers per stream. Now they put a lot of work into making YouTube videos based on topics they want to cover and get a solid return, and haven't been shy about saying that, yeah, YouTube makes me a lot more money at this point than Twitch. But here's one of the problems. YouTube could also go ass up and do something that is not, we've seen them do this before with copyright strikes, banning channels that shouldn't be banned, silencing, shifting revenue streams. YouTube is not some fucking holy land. Let's get that 100% clear. YouTube has problems all of its own. So if you think the grass is greener over on YouTube, have fun when you take that AstroTurf injury and fall hard.
Well, so, I'm just saying now with YouTube, we can only talk about the present. I mean, obviously we don't know what the future is going to hold, but right now the moves that they're making are seem to be benefiting content creators. So they're adding a way to monetize shorts now, and they're allowing, you know, ways to get more into a partner program with the shorts as well. They're introducing a new music monetization system that you'll be able to license music. Like, and even with the shorts, you can use licensed music in your shorts. So they're making it a little bit easier in that sense, you know, to do that. Honestly, I probably will be streaming from YouTube, because Twitch just, it's not really a growth avenue for me, I think. I think I have a better chance of getting revenue from YouTube than I do from Twitch.
And that's totally fair. You got to do what speaks to you. Absolutely. Let's see. Redertainment says they monetize shorts to compete with TikTok and Instagram. Yep. Yeah. Bobby Blackwolf says, to be fair, Loki's audience is already on YouTube, so makes sense to stream there. Also true.
Yep.
Let's see. Other comments here. Tay Place Games says, Twitch is giving us numbers based on Amazon Web Services, which they themselves fucking own, is insulting. Business-wise, those costs are 100% written off as operating losses, so Amazon can reduce their taxes anyway. Oh, 100%.
They don't pay any tax.
The messaging was so bad in how they delivered this news. So bad that it really makes you wonder if they even bothered to proofread the stinking product. Gadats in chat says, I will say candidly, this sort of thing, talking about a response to Fifth Dream saying, let's demand a return to Justin TV. I will say candidly, this sort of thing screams opportunity. YouTube's been falling flat on streaming service improvements, although they are trying. I wonder if any other service can come around to eat Twitch. Well, thank God Facebook has finally realized they aren't it, because that was the one service I did not want in this fucking
Yeah, and unfortunately, game. We need to have like Twitch survive too, because competition is the only thing that's going to make these things better. Because if Twitch goes under, well, all that nice stuff with YouTube we were just talking about, bye bye.
And
you know, it's like
there's a couple comments in chat talking about Mixer, and I agree. Like Mixer, I'm still a little surprised at how Mixer kind of finished. I mean, yes, I guess there were management and leadership problems at Mixer, but it's one of those things where it's like, dang, like. Mixer in the mix right now would really change this game a lot. I hope Microsoft to some degree still recognizes that.
Oh, for the record, I just turned off Ads Manager.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a big old survey to fill out because they wanted to know why. And I think it's very interesting that they're taking the feedback on it, like even to the point, oh, you might win an Amazon gift card. I'm like, I could use it right now. I need all my, you know, cosplay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing on there, though, that I wish that they would switch to if they're going to do ads are the stream display ads that they have, where your window gets a little bit smaller and you have a little banner underneath it and it's not obtrusive. You're not missing content.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get one more comment here from Tay Plays Games. Now I got to move on because it's already an hour and a half in the show, so we got to pick it up with these other news stories. But this is good stuff. I'm not you know, we talk about what needs to be talked about. Tay Plays Games says Facebook gaming was embarrassing, but I know multiple queer streamers were offered 1-year Facebook gaming contracts. They got their bag, held their tongues for a year, and now are back on Twitch. I say make that paper, babes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Make that coin. I mean, I'm not watching, but, you know, profit off other people. Do it. Like, you know, take the moment.
Honestly, I still wouldn't have done it because I don't want to support Facebook.
Yeah. Everybody's got a price. I'm speaking for me anyway. Would I have shut my fucking mouth for the right price?
Mm.
So, all right.
Well, yeah, but then again, when's the last time I looked at my Facebook?
But let's be clear, it's a high price, okay?
Yeah. All right. Like, if they're going to pay me enough to be off work for a year and pay all my medical bills, then yeah, I'll do that. I'll take a leave of absence from work. I'll stream for a year, and then I'll shit talk them after.
If I suddenly come around and I start saying, oh, I love Facebook. Facebook's a great thing. I can't wait to do more stuff. And I'm going to partner up with Facebook. One of two things happened, I guarantee you. Number one, somebody paid me a lot of money. Number two, Zuckerberg is no longer the CEO. One of those two things happened.
Blink once if they have you. Blink twice.
All right.
You know, what would be funny is to take that money and then put it toward anti-Facebook legislation. Hey, all this money you gave us, yeah, we're going to use it to piss in your cornflakes, Facebook. Just saying.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about some other gaming news. We may have to touch on some of these a little bit faster just because we're already an hour and a half into the show. But I want to get to this next story, which has to do. And by the way, great discussion, everyone. And I invite further discussion over on Twitter at twitter.com/OLR. Or you can also send us an email at participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Again, that's participate at orangeloungeradio.com. So moving on, let's talk about the Xbox Series X and a change that happened there. The digital rights management for Xbox One games. So if you have no access to playing Xbox One games because it's trying to do an online check to balance the digital rights management issues, then you no longer have to worry about that with the latest Series X update. This was confirmed by engineering lead Ida Marie in a tweet saying, yes, this is true since the 2206 update. We examined data since Series X and S launch and determined that the online compatibility check isn't needed in the vast majority of cases for Xbox One discs. Some games may still need to be updated online after install to ensure the best experience. And that's, you know, we're talking about games with gigantic patches like, say, No Man's Sky, right? Like, that game just isn't going to play the same at all if you don't update it. So there is that. Let's see. I think that's really all I want to say. There are some other exceptions like Forza Horizon 5 or Halo Infinite because the discs don't contain the full version of the game. So you still need an internet connection to actually get the full versions of those games. And we've seen that happen a lot where, you know, what does a disc really mean anymore, right? So, yeah.
Well, all wasn't right. this for just Xbox One games, though?
Yes, I thought I made that clear. This is just for Xbox One games. This does not affect any Series X thing that's always online. But I don't know how many of those really require always on. I mean, with so many games as a service these days and so forth, I don't know how many of them really require always online. But this is specifically addressing Xbox One related issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. This is an interesting story. Dark Sakura.
Yeah, well, and you know how I like to look into the bigger world of video games and how it affects, you know, social elements. So the Department of Homeland Security has given an almost $700,000 grant to terrorism and security researchers to investigate radicalization through video games. They're going to the Middlebury Institute Center on Terrorism, Extremism, and Counterterrorism, or CTEC, which is a nonprofit organization called Take This, and another company that's looking to curb toxic behavior called Logically. And I'll go ahead and read the quote from the grant announcement. Over the past decade, video games have increasingly become focal points of social activity and identity creation. For adolescents and young adults, relationships made and fostered within game ecosystems routinely cross over into the real world and are impactful parts of local communities. Correspondingly, extremists have used video games and targeted video game communities for activities ranging from propaganda creation to terrorist mobilization and training. I'm going to take a sidestep on that one because I have been following the Keffels situation very actively.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think that this goes into it with, you know, Kiwi Farms. They were, you know, sort of fostering those environments on their site and targeting a lot of different streamers, different people in that were active in the video game community that are also activists. So I think that's a related item. We've seen it very recently. So one of the goals is that they want to monitor and evaluate extremist activities, and then they want to train others to monitoring, detection, and prevention of, as I say, extremist exploitation in gaming spaces for community managers, multiplayer designers, lore developers, mechanic designers, and trust and safety professionals. They are looking at all kinds of different video game studios, you know, from big to small, that don't really understand how their games could be exploited for radicalization. In fact, and then we've even seen this too, going back to the situation with Kiwi Farms. White nationalists have been digging into gaming space. There's groups on Steam that are openly neo-Nazi and, you know, glorifying, you know, domestic terrorism, you know, like school shooters and the like.
But there's when I look at this, though, I'm kind of like, I don't think this is the video game's fault. This is the internet's fault. This is internet radicalization. All right.
And I think that they're dealing with one of the layers of it. And I kind of see their approach on this one. You know, what they're wanting to do is, like, while Steam has banned a lot of these groups, these people want to go further and get them where they start. They actually did a presentation at this year's Game Developers Conference that their focus is going to be on the white nationalism supremacy front. Because of a lot of the more racially motivated mass shootings like the one in Buffalo, because that was broadcast on Twitch live with people dying and being injured on stream. And I think that it's like you said, it's not just, you know, video games, but I think that some of the online spaces around it have been hotbeds for negativity. You know, we're seeing, you know, just in general, you know, I mean, the hate raids aside, I've been in my friends' channels and had people come in and start harassing them for their sexual and gender orientation. I've actually had someone come into my channel and start spouting Nazi rhetoric just because I have the Jewish label up on my channel. I've had people come into my channel and tell me that I need hormone treatment because I'm ace. Completely unsolicited. Which, I mean, 90% of it is unsolicited. But, you know, for some of our, you know, my streamers of color, some of my friends, they've said there's a whole lot worse, of course, that comes in and on their channel. And I think the big thing, you know, on it is that it is something, I'm glad that they're looking at the sources and how it comes together, because I think if you can dismantle the how, the source of it, you know, then to use, you know, the Hydra, you know, analogy, you know, you cut off one head and five more spawn.
Well, and that's
have to cut off the base.
That's what they're talking about in chat right now, you know, talking about things like 4chan. So going to our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, SSJ100 Matt says, there are thousands of these site and platforms that are just cesspools and recruitment centers. For instance, if federal agencies don't have a massive team monitoring 4chan like a hawk, then they're doing it wrong. But if they ever shut down 4chan, thousands of other ones will pop up in its place. So diversifying their counterintelligence will hopefully stop more attacks. I also think what Tay says here is a huge important point. And again, why my brain, like, I understand why they're looking at the gaming culture, but my brain says this is an internet problem. And this is huge, what Tay is saying in chat. Tay Plays Games says, I'm less concerned about video games than I am about YouTube algorithms. And I actually would personally say any social media algorithm pushing out far right content to kids, because this is something Facebook is also extremely guilty of, is pushing maybe less the targeting kids part, but bubbling that garbage and misinformation up. And it's, you know,
they do it on all sides too.
They put, it's that echo chamber of,
they
of
live
that
on
stuff.
Confirmation bias.
Yes. So that's what needs to be looked at, is how we're bubbling the extremities to the top. And yeah, that's a bigger problem than any video game, in my opinion.
Well, and I think, though, that they have to start somewhere. And I'm not saying that it's right to target one community over another, but, you know, they say that the the bent nail gets hammered down first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, of course, video games have often been the scapegoat of many of the people in charge.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we're actually seeing that they have evidence to support that this is a part of it,
mm-hmm.
then I think they have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And on top of that, though, Logically is actually a pretty, pretty good nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Not nonprofit, but just company in general trying to curb the toxic behavior. And also to add to this, I got an email from Intel about a service that they have to combat online toxicity in online gaming and in gaming chats. I joined in on that, although I haven't really seen anything more from it. But I think that it's also... It's sad that the government needs to step in on something that people should just be putting down themselves. You know, that's why I supported Keffel's attempts with Kiwi Farms, and mm-hmm. now they're gone because a lot of us spoke up about it. And I think that we need to be the louder voices, the voices of reason. And, you know, call these people out. Know what you're doing is not good. You need to STFU and, you know, go get that tree trunk out of your ass. Maybe you need something up your ass. I don't know.
To this story's point, well, let's not resort to that. But let's, you know.
Well, I mean, just saying.
To this story's point, like, and with the video game stuff, at least these things that happen on Twitch and so forth in the gaming community and on Steam and in the space, at least they're trackable. At least you can see them. At least, and so maybe I do understand why it does lure the government to that sort of space to be able to actually see it and monitor it a little more effectively. Because when I'm out playing Ingress and a car comes by and somebody leans out the window and says faggot really loud out the window, that's not something that the government can easily track. And if I complain about that's happening, that's just me being a baby and I need to grow a thicker skin. And I'm sorry if you don't like that word, but I don't like that word either. And I especially don't like it when it's yelled at me as it was in that situation that happened in the past couple months. Like, I'm not talking about something that happened to me as a kid. I'm talking about something that happened to me as a 40-year-old man out playing, you know, Ingress and tapping my phone, which looks like Pokemon Go. So therefore, I must be a lesser than. That's the issue when it really comes into stop being shits. But unfortunately, if I yell back, don't be a shit, it's not heard.
Well, and the thing about it is that this is all coming back to trying to think of the way to say it, because I'm not going to say that it's a mental health thing, but I think mm-hmm. it's the way that people are being raised, that there is this. And it's a very American thing. I mean, I'm not saying that it's isolated to America, but it is a very, very American thing where if you don't fit in with this one mold, and I'm going to say it right now, the quote default is white, male, straight, cisgender, Christian, boring, vanilla person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is default. And this is something that as a female oriented person, I have grown up with my entire life being told that I can't do something because it's something that a guy does, you know,
right.
Or that I'm going to be perceived a certain way. And I'm sure that you have, just like with that other person, you've experienced that way. Yep. It's society reinforcing the stereotype.
Yep.
And it needs to start at home.
Yep.
It needs to start at home. It needs parents to be better to their kids than their parents were to them.
Yeah.
They need to break the mold.
And, you know, thanks for the kind words in chat. I see people saying, sorry, that happened. That's fucked up and so forth. I do appreciate that. But like anyone who's different, as Dark Cyber pointed out, anyone who has any element that's against the norm, quote unquote, has experienced something similar. And it sucks. And there's some that experience it a lot more often. And there's some that, you know, I just it's a problem that's much bigger than What's the really video? What's the video game that's causing people to just do terrible things? It's no video game, people.
No,
it's no video game.
People, but they're filtering it into games that have things to do with their viewpoint.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, but here's like a prime example. If you go, say, on a running webpage, tips for men learning to run, you know, have anti-chafe cream, you know, pick a good route, have good shoes. Women, carry a whistle, use your headphones, have mace with you. Don't run at night. You know, these double standards, and I just use that because it's the example that I live.
Yeah.
But these double standards are everywhere. And that's why I'm saying it's a mold that needs to be broken. It's built into our language. I know I've mentioned it before. I have a book I'm very fond of called Man-Made Language by an Australian woman named Dale Spender.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple versions of this book. She started it as her, I think, her doctorate thesis in the 70s. But everything is built around this mold of straight white male Christian cisgender language is built that way. And I'm so glad that right now we have new terms being introduced. We have new concepts that are coming that there's a good number of people adopting. We're whittling away at it, but we need to do more. We need to do more.
Fifth Dream in chat says, I'm in quotey fingers default in this country, and even me and my friends were threatened with weapons because we had nail polish and eyeliner on. I can't imagine what a lot of people have to go through. And it's the fact that you kind of play. I mean, one could argue that the nail polish and eyeliner is gender expression and playing with that a little bit. Although I don't think that stuff
has set you immediately outside to be of the mold.
Yeah, exactly. And to reinforce, I don't think those things have to be tied to any gender, but I think we understand that most of America does view that stuff as gender roles, and you were outside of that. So that's
the mold
why
of
that happened.
Masculinity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Toxic masculinity hurts men as much as it hurts everybody else. Mm-hmm. People in that mold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sick. Yeah. It's a sickness in society. And sadly, this sickness has been building for centuries,
mm-hmm.
you know, for millennia. And we need to be better than it. We need to actually show that we need to be enlightened people, and we need to learn from the past. But oh no, learning from the past? What is this past thing you speak of? I don't want to think about these negative things. I'd rather be comfortable in my little mold that keeps me on top of the food chain.
Sounds too progressive for me. All right. Moving on. We do have a time, I wouldn't say constraint, but we are running a little long tonight, so I want to keep the news going.
Yeah.
So let's get to our next story, Loki.
Yeah, let's talk about another thing that also had the government coming after people. Well, I would assume. So Rockstar Games' leak of Grand Theft Auto 6, of course, attracted a lot of attention. So, of course, they were locking, Rockstar was locking social media. Apparently, on the 18th of September, GTA forums, there was... I think they also did some, they were, taking down, of course, the poster of these leaks, their accounts on GTA forums, which isn't really owned by Rockstar Games, but whatever. And then of course, there was also, different, locked posts, like with tweets and Instagram posts that were taken down, DMCA type stuff as well. So they were trying to, you know, kind of get a hold of any of the videos that were being out, you know, spread out there. They were taking those all down. And then we have news that the City of London police have posted that on Thursday, the 22nd, they have arrested a 17-year-old in Oxford on suspicion of hacking as part of the investigation into was it the Uber and Rockstar Games hacks. Apparently this person was believed to be connected with the group Lapsus, and they had apparently hacked lots of different companies, including Microsoft, Cisco, Samsung, NVIDIA, and Okta. And even Brazil's Ministry of Health as well. So no word if that's necessarily the right person that was responsible for all this, but they did catch somebody who I think their information also been doxed out. Allegedly someone said they were hacked. I don't know. Too much stuff going around. Hard to know what to believe. But that is not the end of the hacks. So apparently Take-Two, not having the best of luck, but according to a post on the official 2K support Twitter,
I think something is coming up later in the show on this, actually. So we'll probably talk about that a little later.
Okay.
All right.
Well, then that's it.
But the part about the hack and so forth with Grand Theft Auto 6 is very interesting. That the person that reported this is somebody I've known online for a long time, and they're very in tune with internet culture. So it was very, very interesting to see this all kind of come out. I'm very curious, like, where that was all kind of figured out and how that was, you know, this particular individual was responsible. I guess we'll see her more in the coming weeks as we start to see some of the, you know, court stuff that may come out of it.
Yeah, we'll have to see, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, along similar lines, talking about the Rockstar and so forth and what they've been going through, some developers have actually, I want to say they're sort of showing support for Rockstar by bagging on internet tweeters and people that have really shit opinions with some of this stuff, actually.
They are really dumb opinions, honestly. Like, seriously, it's just like, these people, I guess, don't know how video game development works.
No, they don't. So, for example, character artist Xavier Calstoni, I hope I said that right, I'm sorry, but they are a character artist for Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart 3D, and they wrote a tweet that said, "This is the greatest, extremely confident, but has no idea what they're talking about take I've ever seen." And it was in reply to, it was a screen. Oh, I love that they did this right too. They screenshotted the tweet instead of quote tweeting it to prevent the tweet from getting further engagement. And the screenshot, and I'm not going to say who tweeted it because they don't deserve to have their account shouted out, said, "If you knew how game development goes, you'd know that visuals are one of the first things done. This game is 4 years into planning and development. What you see is almost exactly what you will get. The next year is mission coding and debugging, all back-end stuff. It does look ass." And that unleashed the floodgates of this new meme, since graphics are the first thing finished in a video game. And so the developers of Control actually showed what Control looked like early on with these giant boxes that said "throw me" as part of what was the environment there. The Naughty Dog tweeted out what Last of Us looked like in development. The Cult of the Lamb developers even tweeted out a screenshot with the meme, "Graphics are the first things finished in a video game," that showed what the video game looked like in a very early state where a lot of the graphics were very rough and not quite polished at that point, and so on and so on. Game developers around the world have come together to dunk on dumbass tweets that pretend they know what goes into game development when in fact they know nothing about it. And that's a lot of Twitter opinions, unfortunately, we see in this day and age. So I'm glad this person is getting dunked on.
Say something, too. It's not just video game development. If doing a graphic layout, I'm going to use a shitload of placeholders. Mm-hmm. I will use low-res pictures to mm-hmm. save on my work. When I'm working on video editing, I'll use what's called proxy media.
Mm-hmm.
Where instead of using my very big, very slow 4K footage, mm-hmm. I'm using like 720p placeholders, mm-hmm. you know? Makes sense that when you are starting a layout, you do not start with your best stuff. You start by putting a foundation down. You start with your engine. You start with your play. You start with your physics. Yep. The graphics are going to come after.
Every movie starts with a storyboard, right? And exactly. Before a frame of footage is shot, even in my job, when putting together, you know, things that have, because I do layouts with PowerPoints and guides and so forth. I use a site similar to Shutterstock for like art. It's not that one, but it's a different one. And so what I'll actually do, I put in the art with the freaking the watermark on it and everything ugly and so forth, just as a placeholder so that people can see this is the art that we're going to use if this is approved. And then once it's approved, then we pay for the art, get it in and put it all in there. So we're all clear with, you know, copyright and all that stuff.
The art was done before you started that PowerPoint.
No, it wasn't. No, I'm saying a low version was done while the content is being reviewed.
But it was on Shutterstock. Therefore, it was done before.
I said it wasn't Shutterstock, but sure.
Or whatever.
All right. Anyway. All right. And lots of people making other analogies in chat, but I think we all get it. This tweeter had no idea what they were talking about.
I'm also going to say this, too, is that when you're working in the art production side of it, you're not going to start with having a pretty finished model at all either. You're going to make your skeleton. You're going to have a rough blob model that you were going to mold into the shape and then fine tune, you know, your model. And this comes from someone who has done 3D modeling and ended up with a cat taking a shit by accident. You've got to build from a foundation. You've got a blank cat.
No, you're fine.
This is pet peeve.
I wanted to see if this particular individual kind of doubled down on their comments or apologized for them. So I went to their Twitter account. It's locked.
Of course.
So anyway.
They did the run and hide method.
They fucked around and they found out.
They found out.
All right. Yep. Moving on. Next story. I think Dark Soccer, we're back to you.
I can't with people. I'm just saying right now. So how about something better? Y'all remember the 90s when we had Blockbuster?
I try to forget, but sure. No, the 90s were awesome.
Yeah, we had good music in the 90s. Anyway, though, the Blockbuster World Video Game Championships is coming back. In fact, it's supposed to be back in October.
Did they have one store?
Well, no. So the Blockbuster World Video Game Championship 3 is going to take place October 14th through 16th, hosted by Portland Retro Gaming Expo and Double Jump Events. And they want to, basically, it's free to enter. They just want to make some new memories. But they are teaming up with Blockbuster to recreate the video rental store for the weekend. There is the Blockbuster Experience Room where they can pick up an updated Blockbuster card and meet the general manager for the last Blockbuster on the planet, Sandy Harding. They have one store left.
Yeah, and it's in Oregon. It's not near Portland. It's in the southeast part of Oregon, exactly. But it's there.
But the prizes are, they're okay. You get a $1,000 PRGE Exhibitor Hall shopping spree. Second and third place will respectively get $500 and $250. There will be two rounds. Round one will go against each other in Saturn Bomberman, which is a very good version of Bomberman. The first player to win three battles moves on to round two. Round two will be a high score on Downfall OG Plus for the Atari Jaguar. And then, wow. it's not a good Jaguar game, I'm just saying. But Saturn Bomberman is great. I wonder if any of these people actually have played Saturn Bomberman or have played a Bomberman? Maybe. But there were the original Blockbuster World Championship. People would compete in these different stores across the U.S. And then the store champions, who were the winners, would go on to compete at GamePro's headquarters in San Francisco.
I know. I competed in that. It was fun.
Yeah, I think I did once.
NBA Jam and Turtles Tournament Fighters?
Yeah, now Turtles Tournament Fighters was the one I was good at. I suck at NBA Jam.
Or was it both games, or was that two different?
I want to say that it was both. It's, I, it, I, I don't remember.
Always went to Hollywood Video, so I don't.
You know what I found very recently? I found my laminated Blockbuster card.
The Blockbuster nostalgia is completely lost on me because they did something to piss my mom off, because my mom was a movie buff. She loved movies. She loved obscure ass fucking foreign films. That was her favorite. She hated Blockbuster. Like, they did some, I think she was mad at Blockbuster because Blockbuster required her to have a credit card. And she's like, this was just my mother, if you knew her.
I didn't have a credit card.
She was very much like, I'm not giving my credit card information to anyone. They can suck it, basically. So, but for whatever reason, I can't say and commit, you know, that was absolutely the reason. But all I know is that Blockbuster did something to piss her off, so we never went there. It was always Hollywood Video, or her favorite place to rent movies was The Warehouse. For those that remember that
they
chain.
Rented movies there?
Yeah, they did. The Warehouse was in with all these other brands too, but the Warehouse was, yeah, they rented a lot of movies. It was a big tape and CD store too back in the day. That's where I bought my first PlayStation too.
When I would go visit Granny in Dothan, Alabama, mm-hmm. we would go rent from the Curtis Mathis. Mm-hmm. Who remembers Curtis Mathis?
We didn't have him here, so no.
Well, I mean, it was mostly to sell the electronics, but they had like a wall of movies, and I saw some weird shit. But I think I rented Return of the Jedi like so many times, But we had a few different like local rental places that would get like the really good NES games that I would rent from. And then I rented a TurboGrafx from a couple of times.
So I'm trying to do the quick poll of Wikipedia to see what it is. Warehouse had purchased Blockbuster Music from Viacom at 1998, but I can't figure out. It doesn't say what the other stores were. I guess Warehouse was unique to California. I thought they were in with other brands.
Never heard of it until you mentioned it just now.
Yeah. So.
Wasn't there like another one that was like the Warehouse that was in the mall? I'm trying to think what that was now. It was like
FYE. FYE, that type of thing.
No, it wasn't FYE. I remember that. That was very much like the Warehouse, but there was also another one that was smaller.
So Dark Sakura, do you know, and I apologize to the listeners for getting extremely local, but tangents, they happen. Do you know out in Roseville where the Mongolian barbecue is that a lot of people like in the TJ Maxx Plaza? And there's the one that we used to go to. Yes. And there's the learning store, the Lakeshore Learning Center, that place that used to be the Warehouse.
Oh, okay.
And that's, yeah, going way back. Throwback.
For the record, one little tangent.
Hmm.
When we saw Weird Al last night, he kept talking about Tower Records, and I'm glad I was here to experience the Tower Records.
They bulldozed the Tower building here, not the theater, but the record store across the street is gone. The one that used to be Dimple, it's gone. They bulldozed it. I know, right? That's like
me.
That isn't the original Tower Records, because technically the original Tower Records is now Tower Cafe, because Tower Cafe's indoor portion was a drugstore, and Tower Records started in the back of that drugstore. So if you're eating at the back table in Tower Cafe, you're eating at the original Tower Records. But the Watt,
I love the Tower Cafe though.
The Watt location was the first actual retail full Tower Records location, and now it's a Goodwill, and they actually have the old Tower sign still in the back of the Goodwill. So
I remember. I like go, and it's a really good Goodwill as well.
Yeah.
You know, the last time I went to the Tower Theater, I think was with you to see The Shape of Water.
Oh yeah, that was a few years ago. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Less tangents, more news. 2 hours, 10 minutes. We haven't even gotten to the classic game. Let's go. All right. Loki.
I don't just do anything tonight. I'm just here for the ride.
You're helping make the show long, so.
Fine with that, you know.
All right.
Fewer Weskers.
So we're back to talking about this lawsuit between the Destiny 2 cheat makers and Bungie. You may remember last time they were saying that the lawsuit was frivolous. That was, of course, the claims that were made by AIM Junkies, which is a website, I guess it's owned by a group called Phoenix Digital Group. Now they're claiming in a countersuit that Bungie had access and downloaded files on the personal computer of the defendant, James May. So basically saying that he was hacked by Bungie. That also that Bungie used the information it obtained to conduct further surveillance on the group as well. So we'll see. The
Hacked by Bungie is going to be the name of my first album.
I don't believe it, but we'll see what we'll see. It's an interesting strategy. We'll have to see if it pays off.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see what comes up in court with that whole situation, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on, let's talk about a little more about those Atari Recharged games I sort of referenced during my gaming week. So Atari Recharged games, some of the ones that have already been released, are going to get new content. Now, this article I'm looking at specifically speaks to the Nintendo Switch, but a lot of these games are also on the PC, so I'm not sure at the but I tried to search other news sites, and I couldn't find the news if this was coming to Switch as well. Steam PC as well, but we do know it's coming to Switch. So Asteroids, Centipede, Breakout, Black Widow, and Gravatar, all those recharged versions, are going to be getting new content on the Switch. It's bonus challenge levels that were previously only available on the Atari VCS. And that may be the reason why it's not completely in Steam. I don't know. But they are a very high level of difficulty for these. And it will be new challenges for existing players and additional value to anyone who's getting the titles for the first time. Arcade mode. Oh, and this is exactly what Dark Tetsuya was talking about earlier. Arcade mode will now give you three lives instead of one, just like the coin-op games they are based on. So that's fun. And a new arachnophobia mode is coming to Black Widow Recharged. And that will turn the spider into a frosty snowman, and you're shooting snowflakes instead of webs. That's actually so, like, it's not a, it literally is for people who have arachnophobia. You can change it away from spiders into I guess Sonic Christmas Nights, where now you're playing a Christmas themed game, so, or whatever. So it's fun. All right, so that's neat. Look for that on the Switch eShop. All right. Meanwhile, since I brought up Atari, I think it's a good time for us to talk about other classic games in this segment. Except I forgot my button pushing device doesn't work, so let me try that transition again, and we'll go to this next segment.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And here we have one of those games that I can't believe it's 10 years old, but here we are. Yeah. Darksakura.
Skullgirls. Skullgirls is a 2D fighting game that was developed by Revenge Labs and published by Autumn Games. The game came out on April 10th, 2012, and it's pretty fun. The game was first released on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live, and was so positively received that it expanded, it got more characters, etc. So the premise of the game is that you will... you'll fight each other, either teams of one, two, or three characters, and knock out your opponents. You know, whoever has the most cumulative health when the time runs out, too, you know, just like any fighting game. But the setting is about a skull heart, which is an artifact that grants wishes for women. If a wish with an impure soul uses a skull heart, she turns into a monster called a skull girl. And it's a pretty interesting game. Although it did have some setbacks, Autumn Games in May 2012 was sued over allegations of fraud about an unreleased property, Def Jam Rap Star, which cut off some of Skullgirl's financial support. and they had to lay off the entire development team. The core team reformed as Lab Zero Games in November 2012, and after crowdfunding, they raised enough money to continue their work, and they developed the Windows version, released by Marvelous in August of 2013. And then Autumn Games severed their ties with Konami in December 2013. And so Konami requested to have the game removed from the PlayStation and Xbox storefronts. The game was re-released in 2014 as Skullgirls Encore, ported to PS4 and PC in 2015, where it was renamed as Skullgirls Second Encore, and then another version in the Japanese arcades and Vita came out. For the record, the arcade version is on a Taito Type X squared system. But then we've had, like, the Switch version in October 2019, Xbox One and Xbox Series X releases are planned for this year. I don't know if they're already out. And then Skullgirls Mobile was developed by Hidden Variable Studios and released for iOS and Android in 2017. And it's all over the place. So there, of course, is some drama. Autumn Games and Hidden Variable Studios severed ties with Lab Zero Games after sexual harassment allegations raised against the lead designer and programmer Mike Zaimont. And so they were dissolved, and then the four, and then some of the former members created a new studio called Future Club, collaborating with Hidden Variable Studios for future content for a second encore. So basically, the model for the engine was based off of Marvel vs. Capcom 2, with several of their game mechanics like the tag team combat, character assists, delayed hyper combos, etc. And then you can play with different ratios, very similarly to Capcom versus SNK 2, where you can select up to 3 fighters on the team, but your life is and power is balanced. So you'd have like either a variety of characters with less power in life each, or you can just have your favorite, your champion. The game has story mode, arcade mode, versus mode, training room, a tutorial mode, and online play using GGPO network library. It also it had some different features that looked at system and balance issues, such as infinite combo detection. And then it offered protection against unblockable attacks. So, for example, when a person uses a low hitting move and a high hitting assist attack, they have ways of blocking that by giving a period of unblockable protection after successfully blocking an attack. So they were really just, you know, focused. They always had updates for it. They had different add-ons like faster gameplay, the online training, like I said before, stun meter. They also had a local game mode called Typing of the Skullgirl, similarly to Typing of the Dead. And so the teams would generate meter and attacks based on their typing accuracy. It's fully voiced story modes, cross-platform play across the entire PlayStation family. Second Encore brought in different challenges where you have unique battle conditions, different trials, different combo challenges, an endless survival mode, different RPG progression tactics, customization, deck building. So as far as the characters go, you had initially 8 playable characters. You had Felia Medici, who has a hair parasite named Samson, which we're seeing, we were seeing that play. there's a circus performer named Sarah Bella, an anti-Skullbrill cyborg named Patricia Peacock Watson, and Pain Wheel, who were singing there, Princess Parasol Renoir, Nadia Fortune, and then Valentine, and then the shape-shifting demon called Double. And then after the Indiegogo crowdfunding, there were five new characters named Sienna Squiggly Contiello, who is a zombie, along with Leviathan, an anti-Skullgirl cyborg named Benjamin Big Band Birdland. I think that's funny. A parasite called Eliza, a wrestler called Beowulf, and another anti-Skullgirl android called RoboFortune. A clone Ophelia named Fukua was added to the game later. She was there for an April Fool's Day joke, and then everyone wanted to keep her. There were more characters added for Season 1 Pass. The character Annie, Parasol's sister Umbrella, Black Dahlia, and Skullgirl Marie. So, it's been lauded so much. And I already talked about the drama earlier, and so I'm not going to go too much more into that. But, I mean, the game also, I mean, the publishers also talked about a fifth DLC fighter, other free content. They're still supporting this game like you would not believe. But for the music, the original album had 28 compositions done by Yamane Michiru, Vincent Diamante, Blaine McGurdy, and Brenton Kosick. And you can still buy the whole soundtrack, although if you did $10 to the Indiegogo campaign, you get a digital copy of the soundtrack, or if you did more, you get a physical release of it. And basically with Yamane, she contributed for work in the Castlevania series, and so they really wanted her in there, and they wanted a jazzy theme. In fact, you can even see that with, the showtime right at the beginning. And it's been very, very popular. The game received very, very high Metacritic scores, the lowest of them being a 71 for iOS, the highest being an 82 for PS3. Everyone's given them like some pretty high level ratings. The sales, it was the highest selling game on Xbox Live Arcade when it was released, and the third best selling on PlayStation Network for April 2012. In Japan, the game took off so well. It's been well loved. And for a little bit of legacy information, 2019 Anime Expo, there was a webcomic published by Webtoon, and at EVO 2022, Skullgirls was added as a main event game. And that's it. Skullgirls.
All right, there it is, your classic game of the week, Skullgirls, which
I love this game.
Again, it's one of those things where it's like, really, this is already 10 years old? Ouch. But then a lot of people are also saying this, the graphics in this game hold up very well. And, you know, part of that is probably the support. But, you know, also it's a very well drawn and put together game. So
I was going to say the hand-drawn stuff.
Sonic Fox succeeded at it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So awesome. Skullgirls is your classic game of the week. All right, we're going to move on. We have plenty more show to come, although we'll probably do a lot of these stories rapid fire style. But I want to make sure we have time for any calls over in our green room, vognetwork.com/discord. If you want to join our green room and possibly join us on the air for a discussion tonight. But we still have a little ways before we're going to get to those calls, because first we need to get through rapid fire news and talk about some other headlines quickly. So Loki.
Yes. So we got a tease of a tease. So there's a post by New York Comic Con that says, join us for October 6th at 4 p.m. Eastern time for the teaser trailer premiere of the Super Mario Brothers movie. Not the old one, the brand new one by Illumination. So we're going to get a trailer for that soon.
Hopefully. I will be in a pressurized tube 30,000 feet above the Earth's surface at the time that this trailer drops, and I don't think there is any place I would rather be.
and then we've also got news that Borderlands game spinoff Tiny Tina's Wonderlands is now going to be a franchise. So they're going to spin it off because it did so well, which is great. Because we need more Borderlands type games, and I hear this one was good, and I still haven't played it.
I know, and I keep waiting for that deep sale. But I imagine by the time, you know, November's around the corner, and so by the time we get to November, this game will be $19.99, so I'll probably finally pick it up.
Probably.
All right. Dark Sakura.
So the studio behind Dead Space is making an Iron Man game with Marvel. That's Motive Studio, and they're doing a single-player third-person action game starring Iron Man. Yay. It was only, you know, very quietly confirmed on Twitter.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be good.
All right, and we do have some incoming quality of life updates for the Capcom Fighting Collection, or if it's me, it's the Puzzle Fighter 2 and some fighting games collection. But hey, the quality of life update is hitting this week on Tuesday, September the 27th. All the patch notes are not available yet. However, this is supposed to include viewable hitboxes, new gem colors for Puzzle Fighter. I think this is to address some colorblind issues the game more accessible. Yeah. And you can view your opponent's connection status, you know, for people that are, you know, trying to do lag switching and all that stuff. So, that's pretty cool. So the update is supposed to have more tweaks in addition as well. But we don't know exactly what they all are yet. But it is supposed to be a pretty big update coming very soon. All right, let's get into some release dates around the world. And we'll start with Loki with what is coming out this week in the U.S.
We've got The Spirit and the Mouse on PC and Nintendo Switch, Alfred Hitchcock Vertigo on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, Black Witchcraft on PC, Grounded, I'm assuming is coming out of Early Access, that would be on PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series, Hakko Life on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, The Legend of Heroes Trails from Zero on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. Life is Strange Arcadia Bay Collection on Nintendo Switch. Moon Scars on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. Tunic on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Death Verse Let It Die on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. Never Awake on PC. There's so many. Bullet Soul and Bullet Soul Infinite Burst on Nintendo Switch. Dwarf-O-Matic on Nintendo Switch. Harvest Overay plus Anno Ko Wa Ore Kara. It's a mouthful. Hana Renia on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Konosuba God's Blessing on This Wonderful World, Cursed Relic, and The Perplexed Adventures. Can we, as a like a just a community, or just as a, you know, an entertainment, you know, can we just like make a rule that titles can't be a certain length, because I think they're getting too long. And I'm looking at you visual novel creators in Japan. Cut it out. Cut it out with these insane. It's a title. It's not a paragraph, please.
Fiona Apple says no.
All right. We've got Caprinella della Eterno on Nintendo Switch. Labyrinth of Zengatsu on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. The Legend of Heroes, Kuro no Kisuke 2, Crimson Sin on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. Little Witch, Nobeta on PC, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation 4. New Prince of Tennis, Let's Go! Daily Life Rising from Rising Beat on Nintendo Switch. I'm telling you, it's visual novels. Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Post Void on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Rail Grade on PC and Nintendo Switch. Sam & Max Beyond Time and Space Remastered. And Sam & Max Save the World Remastered on PlayStation 4. Valkyrie Elysium on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. Also, Valkyrie Profile Lenith on both of those systems as well. Ario Heart on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. Blade Assault on
how
Nintendo
many fucking
Switch,
games are coming out this week? Jesus.
It's the fourth quarter, third quarter, whatever you want to call it. Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. Bunny Park, I'm very curious about this one, it's a construction management simulation on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series. FIFA 23 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, Stadia. Lemon Cake, which is a management simulation. Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series.
Well, I mean, you can't have a lemon party unless someone brings the lemon cake.
That's true. My Little Pony, Maritime Bay Adventure on PlayStation 5. Paw Patrol Grand Prix on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, and Stadia. There you go, Stadia, folks. You've got your game, Paw Patrol, this week.
A bunch of other stuff coming out on Stadia.
But it doesn't matter because Paw Patrol's coming out, and that's all that matters.
There's already a Paw Patrol game on Stadia anyway.
Well, this is a Grand Prix game. You know what? They said, hey, you know what, Mario Kart? I think we can do it better. And then they failed at it. But it's coming to Stadia. And they're like, we're the number one Grand Prix Paw Patrol game on Stadia. Can't take that away from us, Mario Kart. All right, I'm done. I'll stop wasting time.
All right. Where were we? Ditto, Japan. All right. Japanese release dates. I'm going to try to make this fast. Nintendo Switch. Little Witch Nobita in a regular and limited edition. The New Prince of Tennis. Let's go. Daily Life from Rising Beat. That one's for you, Loki. That is coming out also in Japan this week. I want to know, is that actually a tennis game or is it like a dating sim that centers around tennis?
It's a visual novel.
It is a visual novel that centers around tennis. Awesome. We also have coming out the Labyrinth of Zangetsu in Japan. La Campanella della Eterno comes out in a regular and limited edition. A Bullet Soul Double Soul pack, as well as Sword Art Online, is out on the Switch this week. We also have in Japan coming out on the 30th. So those ones I just read were the 29th. On the 30th, The Legend of Heroes Trails from Zero. We also have Bayonetta gets a Japanese release. I think this is the re-release of the first game because it was digital before. When you bought Bayonetta 2 on the Switch, you got a digital copy. So if you want a physical copy in advance of 3, this is your chance, coming out of Japan this week. FIFA 23, of course. I can't neglect FIFA 23. That's the Switch. Let me quickly check in on the PlayStation 5 that has Valkyrie Elysium coming out this week, as it is everywhere else. I believe that Legend of Heroes Kurono Kisuke 2 Crimson Sin in regular and limited edition also on the PlayStation 5 this week, and sadly no Paw Patrol though, I'm sorry to say, but FIFA 23 also out on the PlayStation 5 this week in Japan. Let's go to the UK. Dark Sakura.
On the 27th we have a Session Skate Sim, Hokko Life, Life is Strange Arcadia Bay Collection. I'm not even going to bother to say what everything's on. On the 29th, Valkyrie Elysium, Inertial Drift, Pathfinder, Wrath of the Righteous, Paw Patrol Grand Prix, Sword Art Online, Demon Throttle, FIFA 23, Squish, Maneater Apex Edition, My Little Pony, Maritime Bay Adventure, and DC League of Super Pets Adventure of Crypto and Ace.
All right.
I'd like to think that's all one title, but it's a visual novel.
Yeah. It's all together.
All right. We're going to go through these last few stories here, and then I'm going to open up the green room. So vognetwork.com/discord if you want to call in tonight, join the green room. Otherwise, we have a few more stories for you. I was going to say we're going to rush through them. I don't want to rush this first one, though. So Loki, tell us a little more about this.
Yeah, so this is pretty cool. So Xbox has launched a new program called Project Amplify. It is to basically promote and amplify Black voices and developers of color to inspire them to make games. So apparently there's, you know, lack of representation in the development community, and they're just trying to promote, you know, developers to put stuff out on Xbox. So they have a video series under the Project Amplify name that's on the ID at Xbox YouTube channel. It's like 16 episodes that highlights different game designers, and they even have different, it's not just developers, they also have, like, you know, narrative directors, artists, software engineers, that type of stuff as well. And this is all in, you know, kind of revolving around also a Revolt Summit, which is taking place from September 24th through the 25th in Atlanta, Georgia. So it's cool.
It's nice to see some of those, you know, actions and plans around, you know, trying to, you know, bring more diversity into gaming and game development and so forth. It's nice to, you know, see that plan and see it in action. It speaks a lot louder, I think, than the typical, you know, social media text image committing to do better.
They're also going to have a panel, too, at that Revolt Summit as well.
Oh.
So that's going to be there. And then they've got... there's a page on their Xbox website, xbox.com, that talks about, it's like different resources as well. So, you know, they have learning C sharp, getting started with Unity, getting started with Unreal Engine, game design, development process, narrative tools, art tools, etc. So it's, you know, all these different things to hopefully help promote, you know, more developers to come to the Xbox platform or just become developers in general.
All right. Okay. Let's we'll rapid fire these remaining stories. So Dark Sakura.
So, there is some drama going on with Take-Two Interactive. Their help desk was hacked. And so their, the party that did so send a communication out to players with a malicious link. They put out a warning about it, not to open any emails or click on links from 2K Games support account. And they're encouraging people to reset their passwords stored in the browser, enable multi-factor authentication, run an antivirus, and check their account settings to see if forwarding rules have been added onto their email accounts. They have taken their support function offline while they investigate and try to correct the issue. This comes right after an extortion group, Lapis with a dollar sign, compromised Rockstar Games, again with the Grand Theft Auto issue. So it seems that there's going a bunch. We'll see. But yeah, be careful for your 2K game stuff.
Be careful what you click on in general. Always exercise good judgment. And if email sounds fishy, probably is.
It probably is.
Yeah. And multi-factor authentication. I mean, it's not perfect.
Pay attention to branding.
It's really strong. So
pay very close attention to branding, because they, or, and also the exact email addresses that things come from. Also, you can, if anything looks suspicious, you can show headers and see where they routed from.
All right, let's move on. Loki.
All right. So I'm a big fan of Video Game Donkey. He does some hilarious videos online and makes different, like, review stuff for video games. Well, now he is using his persona on YouTube and his following to help indie game studios publish their games. So he's actually starting a publishing label called Big Mode, and he's basically looking to partner with AAA quality indie games to try to promote the game content and get their game out there. So we'll have to see what exactly that turns into.
It's a lot easier to say than to do. I think this individual is going to find out. And I know we're trying to abbreviate for time, but the one thing I had wanted to say on this is quickly, you know, if this was Sony PlayStation leveraging Sony media to push the Sony products, which they do sometimes, let's be real. A lot of these companies do that sort of thing. I think a lot of us will kind of look at that and go, well, that's shady because they're just pushing their own stuff. It's interesting that this individual sees this as the solution to put together a publishing arm that they can promote their own stuff through. I'm just saying it's a little bit, I think there's a little bit, I don't know. I don't know if this is the smartest move to get into this, but I wish him luck. But yeah. I think you're going to find with a lot of these indie lower budget titles, a lot of it is what, you know, like the Trombone Champ, what goes viral, what can be the it girl, what's the thing that, because you know what, I'm still convinced to this day YYR's super multitasking is so deserving of its moment in the sun, but it like anything else, it needs that moment to go viral, you know. And I can hype that game till I'm blue in the face, but until it gets right in front of the right people, you know, it's not. And there's plenty of other good games I'm unaware of that probably need that moment. Anyway, I could say more, but I'm trying to move fast. So I will go right into the last story here, which is about the song list that has been released for Theatrhythm Final Bar. Yes, the song list was revealed, and I already have seen plenty of the punchlines in our Discord about, yes, Crazy Chocobo from Final Fantasy 13 2 is in there. Of course, but I mean, of course it was going to be in there. They weren't going to cut songs. Like when they're doing like 400 songs, anything they've done a chart for in these games was going to be in the
game.
It's
free content.
Yeah, it's free content. It would be very easy to skip that song and never play it, which would be the right call because it's not a great song. However, when I was looking at the list of like, okay, Final Fantasy 14 content, I wanted to see what they added from Final Fantasy 14, and they put some really sweet stuff from Shadowbringers in there. So they did add some stuff. There's a lot, and the bonus stuff from other Square games, it looks like they have a pretty impressive lineup of songs from other Square games as well. They're bringing in things from Live Alive is going to be in the game, which I thought was very interesting. They also are going to some of the spin-off albums, like the Primals has a song in it from their CD, the Scions and Sinners arrangement album for Final Fantasy 14. But then you get into like the Saga series, The World Ends With You. We all knew Nier was going to have some. Yes, they're doing Way to the World. That's the only one I needed to hear in there. Chrono, Mana Games, Octopath Traveler. I mean, this is really going to be like a Square collection. The only Square series that seems to be missing is Kingdom Hearts. But I'm going to assume
that's understandable.
Number one, you had the Melody of Mediocrity game that already came out that tried to change the Theatrhythm formula and failed miserably. But you also have the Disney thing in there, which probably makes it a little more difficult. So we may not see those unless they are the question mark titles that are still yet to be announced. But I wouldn't hedge my bets on it. I would bet the question marks are probably upcoming Square titles. I bet Forspoken is going to be one of the games that has music that gets added into Theatrhythm. Although maybe that would be a little weird. Oh, no, because the game's going to be on PlayStation as well. So you don't even have the Switch versus PlayStation issue there. So that's just, or Final Fantasy 16 at that point will be out. So it would make sense that a DLC pack would have the 16 music.
Well, they also have that seven. What was that? I don't remember the seven prequel thing.
Yeah.
Crisis Core.
Yeah. Crisis Core. Yeah. That's what I meant. I don't know if they're adding new music to the remake that they're doing.
Fifth Dream in chat says, do Simple and Clean, then get the fuck out. But then you have to pay Utada money to do that. And, you know, they have every right to money as well from that, you know, collaboration and so forth. So
do the Japanese one because it's better.
Well, ideally we could select either one, but I'm not. I don't think Simple and Clean was even a Melody of Mediocrity, probably because they didn't work out a deal with Utada. I don't think any of their songs were in it. I could be
if
wrong.
If you're going to put anyone in there, do Kiss Me Goodbye, because Angela Aki. I love her.
SG100 Matt says, Rob is just throwing his bank account at this game for the complete pack. True. I will be buying the complete pack. I'm just still deciding if I want it on PlayStation or if I want it on Switch. I think I'm going to end up getting it on Switch. The portable element to play it on a plane is pretty enticing. But yeah, will I be dropping $100 on the Uber Edition? Yep. It's me. I'm the problem. All right. Let's get to the list.
That's not a problem because they're giving you content.
No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. The content is there.
There's a difference between a $100 loot box where you don't know what's in it and $100 worth of content that they've outlined. It's basically a digital collector's edition is what that is.
Honestly, there's like 400 songs in Final Fantasy 14. If they were like, we're going to loot box the remainder of the Final Fantasy 14 soundtrack, I'd be like,
I'm part of the problem.
All right. Let's move on to the listener roundtable. We're going to start with our mailbag because I don't see anybody in the green room. But I will get to tweets here in a minute. But let's
read this quickly.
Yep. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us emails.
Hello, peoples. So I'm at home after dinner with my family and catching up on episodes of X-Play on G4, which I'm watching on my DVR because I subscribe to cable. Currently, I'm watching an episode where they're doing a retrospective of the Xbox One versions of Madden. It's interesting to see the opinionists talk about a product that's gone stale over the past few years, but not interesting enough for me to watch the episodes of X-Play as they're released. I'm watching an episode from a month ago, and advertisers on television pay a higher value on people who watch their ads when their ads are current. What could G4 do to get people to watch their cable content in a more current fashion? Esports. About the only thing keeping cable television afloat right now, aside from house flipper shows that are on in the background as I'm getting my nails done, is live sports. Why did Turner and ESPN pay $24 billion for the rights to air NBA games? Why did CBS, NBC, Fox, and ESPN pay $39.6 billion for the rights to NFL games? Why are networks in Europe willing to pay $13.5 billion for Premier League football? Because people who watch sports tend to watch it live as it's happening, whether it's at home on the couch or to bar with friends or in the background as you're making dinner, people tend to watch sports live as it's happening. G4 could do what other cable networks are doing by airing esports competitions live as they are happening. Yes, G4 does air esports competitions, but these competitions are not live as they're happening. Live does mean as they're happening, for the record. Yes, these competitions are also available on Twitch, but G4 could air these competitions live as well. All it would take is G4's parent company, Comcast, to be willing to put forth a substantial investment in this platform, and therein lies the problem. If you watch things on a DVR on Comcast cable like I do, eventually you'll see a screensaver come up. Often these screensavers promote things that are available via Comcast. Currently, one of the Comcast DVR screens promote their customers getting access to Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 live beta. Now, is there anything on this particular screensaver promoting G4? No, despite the fact that it all would take is putting the G4 logo on the side of the screensaver. If Comcast is willing to put a single logo on one of their screensaver slides, what makes you think Comcast is willing to invest in anything having to do with G4? Take care, Redertainment.
Well, thank you for the email, Redertainment, and you do make some very good points. I think especially when you hit on the fact that one thing that compels people to watch television is live events. Sports is the biggest one, of course, but even reality TV like American Idol, when that show was, you know, a little more relevant, I think the reason why was because there was so much of that live element to it that really made it must-see TV. Or, you know, the news is live and so forth, and still it makes local TV relevant and so forth. So I do think you hit on something there. But, you know, again, we had additional news about G4 this week. Now Frosk is leaving, who's, you know, the only one that's given them a truly viral moment. Kevin Pereira, I believe, is leaving now as well. So it's kind of like one of those, you know, it's too early to eulogize G4. You know, maybe something comes through with the cost saving initiatives. But I think when it comes to video game media, G4 is one of many participants in that conversation at this point. And that's the way I can put it, like, without making it sound like I'm dogging on G4, because I'm not. But it's just G4 has to compete with a lot of other people in the room now. And that wasn't the case, you know, 10, 15 years ago when G4 was more of the traditional TV network. And that's all you had because people didn't have the internet fast enough to create their own television. So.
And on top of that, with the esports stuff, it's a good idea. But at the same time, I think that's already being broadcast on like ESPN. So I'm assuming that there's some sort of rights exchange that's going on there. They're not just doing it for the out of the goodness of their heart. So yeah. I'm wondering if they can't purchase the rights to that because it's already been purchased. And not to mention, if they're going to cost save, they don't have the money to do it.
All right. I'm going into some tweets real quick. The vast majority of the tweets we were tagged in last week, the vast majority had to do with Dark Sakura being on the Stadia Doshin show last week, just because they were tagging us and they have fans that were retweeting and hearting. And it seems like your appearance was really, really well received over there. All I noticed was it was a long listen, so I haven't listened yet, but maybe that's something for airline travel when I get around to it. Cause I did see the YouTube that was posted, but, yeah, thanks to Stadia Dosage for the multiple shout outs. And sounds like you had a really good time there and made some new fans over there at the Stadia Dosage show. Thanks.
Absolutely had a fantastic time. I really enjoyed it. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I believe this tweet that came to us is from one of those people that came to us from the Stadia Dosage show who tweeted us. It's on Twitter, Dustin Arand. And if you want to tweet us, by the way, it's at OLR, who said, hey, great show. I have some counters to some points. Number one, we don't accept those here, actually. I'm going to move on. No, of course, every gamer has a voice. So let's get to these. Number one, Ubisoft does have their own subscription on console and the cloud. It's called Ubisoft Plus, and it's free to try until October 10th. I forgot about that. You have to install that to, I shouldn't have forgot because you have to install that freaking shell to, get Assassin's Creed Odyssey on the PC. I don't know if you know that, but with,
I'm on a Mac.
Well, I know you do the cloud stuff, but I'm playing because of Game Pass and Game Pass PC. You have to, it's not like the other games where it installs directly in Game Pass. You have to download the Ubi thing and Game Pass basically talks to the Ubi thing and enables it on your account that way, which is interesting. It used to be Uplay back in the day, but then yeah, like the Twitter user saying, Dustin is saying it's the Ubisoft Plus thing now is what it is. But I forgot that it was also like a whole like cloud subscription thing and you could get their whole library. So yeah, good point. Good point. And then, as another G4 comment, as far as G4 and cable, and leads us to an article called Cable TV is the New Landline, which is kind of a point I was trying to make last week, an article from the New York Times. Due to our own time frame tonight, I'm not going to go through the article on air. I did read it off air when you first sent us the tweet, and it was making a lot. It was really reemphasizing a lot of things I kind of thought I was saying last week about, yeah, cable TV is not going to be what it is now in another 20 years. And things change. Technology changes. That's okay. You don't see as many people rocking satellite dishes as you used to, unless you live in a place that can't get, you know, service in any other manner. I realize
the movie Stay Tuned is irrelevant.
If you're in Alaska, satellite is huge. So, yeah. And then Dustin sends one more tweet that says, whoever mentioned Crypt of the Necrodancer on the show, I got that on sale a month ago and I've been addicted ever since. Got it for Switch too. Well, make sure you probably already know this if you're a Switch user, but make sure you look out for Cadence of Hyrule as well. It's the same freaking game from the same developers, but it's Zelda stuff. So even if you're not super into Zelda, which I don't think many gamers would say that, but I'm sure there's some out there. Worth a look would be Cadence of Hyrule if you are not already in that. So, all right. Awesome. So I don't see anybody in the green room, and that is A-okay because we're right about 9 o'clock anyway. I hope I wasn't discouraging people from calling in, but we'll try again next week over at vognetwork.com/discord. If nothing else, join the Discord, talk to us throughout the week, send us your comments, send us other things you have to say, because I love to read them throughout the week. So vognetwork.com/discord. And of course, the tweets are great too. Stadia fans and all gaming fans, twitter.com/OLR for whatever tweets you may have for us. And I hope we can join on some other podcasts as well out there in the coming weeks. We love guesting on other shows, all of us.
I'd love to have them on, you know. I think it would be awesome.
Ever since we went virtual, we haven't really had a lot of guests on the show. I think we have to figure out what the format for that looks like, so that we're not asking somebody to commit 3 whole hours to be here. But yeah, I'm all for bringing lots of people. I think you and I know about, between us, probably like at least 25 Twitch streamers we'd love to bring on this show, if not more. So, yeah.
I would be down for it. I still kind of want to do like my Dead by Daylight sort of themed one where interviews are conducted as a character.
Yeah.
I think it would be funny.
Bobby in chat says, lies, you've had Shane several times, not for the whole show though. So yeah, we usually, and that's probably the way to do it with a guest, is we invite him in to talk about the kickoff topic. And usually when I've had Shane on, or I think there was somebody else too in one episode, it's about the kickoff topic and so forth. So we can always, you know, kind of shape the show that way, but we'll talk about that another time. For now, we're going to wrap it up. Dark Soccer, I know you're about to head out and do your thing. Do you want to give us a final thought tonight before you head out?
Wesker.
That's well it. Said. All right. Bye, Jamie. Have a good stream.
Later, taters.
All right. And of course, I'm going to say, as always, thank you for downloading and listening to Orange Lounge Radio, whether it was on the podcast feed or you were here live. I appreciate you being a part of the show. You can always leave us a nice 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever it is you found this podcast. Those reviews go an awful long way, and those kind words. We want to grow our family here at Orange Lounge Radio and VOG Network. We can only do that. They're bringing more people in here and spreading the word. So tell a friend or two about the show. Thank you so much to those of you that do. I don't say that enough. I do see that there are people that do that. I appreciate the shout outs. I appreciate the tweets. All of that stuff is great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those that do that. That's it. Let's get final thoughts and get on out of here. Loki, your final thought tonight.
I'm almost done with this build. I can't wait. Probably another day or so and I'll have it done. And then video this week for sure. It's been 3 weeks and I feel real bad about it, but this, you know, considering everything that was going on and then the size of the build, yeah, it's understandable.
My final thought, I'm going to stream on my personal stream Monday and Friday, maybe. Well, I can't do Wednesday because of work situation, but maybe Thursday night. I'm still trying to figure out a good game to do Thursday night. I'm kind of on the fence between, streaming those, Atari Recharged games. I might get a couple more of them and stream those.
Trombone Champ.
Or, there's always Trombone Champ, but I'm also thinking Splatoon 3. I think I got to get on board with that eventually. I'm kind of waiting to hear if they've patched some of the communication issues, because that's the big thing that's been ticking me off about that. So
my son's been playing that. I don't know if it's any good, but he likes it.
Is he getting disconnected?
I think he's just been playing the single player.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there is always that. I could always just play that, but I don't really want to reward Nintendo for their crappy online, but we'll see. I otherwise have been hearing good things about the game. A lot of tweets about the Splatfest this weekend, so we'll see.
Even less of an excuse now that we have to pay for it, you know?
Yeah, right. All right. But that is it. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you so much for being here. We will see you next week. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true.